Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights of the round table, our shows are more, we're able. So many times we give and blind to our quiet unseen label. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
hear... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hear ye, hear ye. King Shaziz the Terrible. All rise for King Shaziz the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening, but they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up, they were chopping them down. It's an ancient Chinese art, and everybody
Matata! It means no worries.
Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase.
Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's a problem-free philosophy.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata?
Yeah, it's our motto.
What's the motto?
Nothing. What's the motto with you? You know, kid, these two words will solve all your problems.
That's right. Take Pumbaa, for example. Why, when he was a young warthog.
When I was a young warthog.
Very nice.
Thanks.
He found his aroma lacked a certain appeal. He could clear the savannah after every meal.
I'm a sensitive soul, though I seem thick-skinned. And it hurt that my friends never stood downwind. And oh, the shame!
He was a shame!
What a change in my name!
Oh, what's in a name?
And I got downhearted!
How did you feel?
Every time that I...
Hey, Pumbaa, not in front of the kids.
Oh, sorry. Hakuna Matata, what a wonderful phrase. Hakuna Matata, ain't no passing craze.
It means no worries for the rest of your days.
Yeah, see it, kid.
How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many years can a mountain exist before it's washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he really sees the sky? How many ears must one person have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn
nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Always working to fill the turbo and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. In my good book, my Lord told me that if I had the faith of a mustard seed, I could move mountains. I feel like I got the faith of a mountain, and I'm moving mustard seeds, one positive pebble at a time. Before I get started with today's show, so far there ain't no night showed up at the table, but, you know, as usual, they'll be, what's that word, where you're late, but you do it with style. Anyway, they'll show up at the most inopportune time whenever I'm, like, right in the middle of some profound phrase that I'm trying to get out or something. We'll see how it goes. They might not even show up at all. Could be a one-man show. Who knows? But nonetheless, I played a pretty interesting intro there. Posted a couple videos over there at the superchat.html. By the way, for those of you listening out there, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. And if you want to join in on the chat and become one of the honorary Knights of the Round Table, jump over there to the superchat.html, where you have access to not one but three separate chat rooms, all on the same page, so you can see what everybody from different networks are saying and that kind of stuff. Anyway, I posted a video. It's the oldest video I ever done. Very first video I ever put on YouTube. It's called Black Eye. And in this video, you get some cheesy graphics and me and my old glasses that me and my friend Steven had a chat about. Now he's got a bad visual of me in bell bottoms and old dark sunglasses kung fu fighting. So, you're welcome, sir. Anyway, I posted that video back in 2008, and if you watch the video, it has some cheesy graphics, and you can, you know, like close one eye and put it close to the screen, and you can see what it looks like to actually get a black eye. At least that's what it looked like from my perspective, because I've had a few black eyes in my life. A lot of stories behind that. But nonetheless, that's what it looks like. Stars, and probably should have added some birdies in there too. Anyway. And at one point, it actually looked like an x-ray. And it really does kind of look like that whenever you get a black eye. My uncle, when I was younger, threw a walnut, and it landed right square in the center of my eye socket. And the lights went out, and I could see all the little flashes and Yeah. Anyway, that was probably the worst black eye that I had. The second worst black eye I ever had was one of you used to have these old really hard super balls. And I thought this, I had this idea, I was going to see how high I could bounce this super ball, so I slammed it down on the curb on the street, and that thing came right back up and hit me right square in the eye socket. Most generally, it seems like it's the same eye all the time. I don't know what the universe has against that one particular eye, but it seems to be blackened a lot. You know, I've blackened my own eye by accident so many times in my life it ain't even remotely funny. I don't like getting a black eye. Not too cool. Anyway, so I also put down there a video of Bob Dylan. The answer is Blowing in the Wind. I put this particular video down because whoever put the video together actually put some, you know, pictures in there that, I don't know, they kind of tug at your heartstring, makes you think about humanity and such. So, when I think about that song and I think about all the chaos, you know, we're living in a world of chaos and we're trying to kind of sort our way through it and try to figure out, you know, where we're going to go and what the future of humanity is going to be and what we can do to fix everything. And, you know, I just, sometimes I get a bit overwhelmed whenever I look out at the overall picture of it all. There's a lot going on. You know, at least we're told there's a lot going on. I mean, we, you know, watching the mainstream media and alternative media, we see a lot of stuff going on. Gets a bit crazy sometimes. I can only imagine what the youth of today would be thinking when they look out into the world, whether or not they'd feel like there wasn't nothing they could do about it or whatever. But while listening to that song, I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is the meaning of that song? So, I posted a Wikipedia link in there about what somebody said that the Blowing in the Wind song, written by Bob Dylan in 1962 and released as a single on a album, is that rhetorical? Yeah, rhetorical question about peace, war, and freedom. The refrain, "The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind," has been described as impenetrably ambiguous. Either the answer is so obvious it is right in your face, or the answer is so intangible as the wind. And the thing about that song is that there are so many different artists out there that, you know, had some really profound words to say. You know, so many people out there. I've listened to a lot of people. We've had a lot of wonderful souls here on the Knights of the Round Table. And I really love to hear what they got to say. Because if I used to think that if there was a way that I could actually stand before the entire world and everybody had to listen to me for a few minutes and I would give my deepest soul to the words that were coming out of my mouth to try to share the world the message of peace, hope, and love, what would I say? Well, as I listen to these people, you know, like Patty Walking Turtle, I loved listening to her talk. She says so many profound things, and she speaks with calmness and wisdom about it when she talks. And she really cares. And there's so many people out there just like that. And these people that, you know, somehow or another managed to get up there, or where we call fame and fortune and stuff like that, some of them, you know, have lyrics and songs that are profound as well. There's even a band that I liked from back in the old days called Black Sabbath. It's kind of a controversial band, I guess, a name or whatever. But if you actually listen to the lyrics, especially the song Heaven or Hell, it says a lot about the world. One of the portions in that song is that the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes and steal your dreams. It's heaven and hell. And how true is that? You know, I mean, look out at the so-called representation of the world, the people that we've elected to be leaders, or, you know, at least perceived that we elected to be leaders out there. And all the lies and propaganda, it's the song just says it. You know, the world is full of kings and queens that blind your eyes. You know, they put this veil over you. And they steal your dreams. Everybody out there wants freedom. Everybody wants peace, you know. Well, with exception of people when they're kind of in a rowdy mood, you ask everybody peace and love, and can't we all just get along, and just about everybody in the room says no. You know, out of humor wise, but I think deep down in their heart, you know, they really seriously do want some peace. And so, you know, I listen to people. I really honestly pay attention when people talk, because there's only one of each and every one of us out here, and each and every one of us has a unique and a one-of-a-kind perspective on life. What is it that you see when you look out of your eyes into the world? I love to hear what the youth think about the life and the world in general. I know that there's a lot of people out there that are so frustrated with the world that they just don't care anymore. They just want to, you know, leave it all alone. Some even go to the extents of, you know, self-medicating and trying to, you know, stay drunk or high, or some people laugh off their pain. I wish that I had the power to reach out and touch the world and heal it. I wish I had the power to reach out and make everything right that is wrong. But unfortunately, I don't. I'm just an average guy. I'm just a man. You know, even though my good book said that the faith of a mustard seed could move mountains, and I feel like I got the faith of a mountain trying to move a mustard seed, could very well be that I'm doing it all wrong. And I'm looking at the world in a wrong perspective. Maybe it's not my job alone to try to save the world. Maybe it's not my job alone to try to heal the world. Maybe it's been set up all along that without you, there's nothing I can do. Well, sure, I can do small things. I can do, charitable acts, and I can do nice acts of kindness for people. But imagine that magnified. I meet up with somebody of like mind, and we do the same thing together. Me and that particular individual, whether it be male or female, we go out to the world and we double up on what it was doing. We run around, we smile to everybody we see, we open doors, we do kindness for everybody that we see. And somehow along the line, we pick up one more. You know, there's somebody seeing us doing that, and they say, why are you guys doing this? We're just trying to spread love, brother or sister, you know. And now we got 30 people doing it. And so it all started off from an idea and a dream, you know, that in a world of chaos that we would literally go out there and one positive pebble at a time send the ripples across the land that would, you know, wake everybody else up to the same idea. And so maybe when I was looking at it as if I could only just reach out and touch the world and heal everything that was going on in the world, maybe I was looking at it the wrong way. Maybe I am literally reaching out with the faith of a mountain, moving many mustard seeds at one time that will add up to that mountain eventually. I may never live long enough to see the fruits of my labor, but if it ever came to pass that I had some hand in doing something as profound as trying to make a difference in this world, that to me I think would be worth it. And so as I go through my daily life, I try to practice what I preach, and I try to do that. And I try to bring other brothers and sisters on board to just doing that. Just using what I got and what they got. We pull our resources and together we go out and we make the world a better place. I honestly believe it's possible. I honestly believe that it's already started, that we have been doing this. Here on the Knights of the Round Table, there's over 400 podcasts on Mad Science and on the Knights of the Round Table and Mad Science combined on the podcast page. There's many shows that we've done together. Brilliant and wonderful and loving souls from all over the world. Sure, we've had our ups and downs, but somehow or another, we're still here. We're still pushing forward, trying to make that dream happen. Or at least keep the idea of the dream alive. So, maybe in some sense, I am reaching out to touching the world and bringing about peace and love and hope. At least my little portion of it. You know, sometimes patience is not the easy thing to do. You know, you reach out and it seems like sometimes you get bit, sometimes you don't. But you keep reaching out anyway. Because you feel like that it's so important that you must keep going. So, like I said, I'm just an average Joe, just like everybody else out there. I ain't no better and I ain't no worse. And I got this big vision, this big giant dream that seems so impossible that I can't fathom it even ever coming true. But nonetheless, I still keep the dream alive in my heart and mind and I keep on pushing forward. I try to sit around and put the words together to inspire those out there in the world who are going through hard times, because there's a lot of individuals out there. There's so many people out there going through hard times, whether it be sickness or family issues or whatever. And because I have a love for all my friends and people of the world, I want to share that love and see if I can't put a little bit of that inside them to at least, at the very least, ease their pain, you know? And that song, it said, "The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind." It's like so obvious. It's right there in your face. And so we've been looking at the answer all along. We've been looking at the solution. When you look in the mirror every morning, you are looking at the solution to all the problems of the world. You know, one person really seriously can make a difference in the world if they really seriously want to go for it. Two people, that speeds the process up. Three people, four people, five people. How many people are actually listening to this show, the words that are coming out of my mouth, that feel the same way that I do, that would want to go out there and throw those positive pebbles in the pond and make somebody's day better? Even if you're having a bad day yourself, and you still find it somewhere down, deep down inside, the purpose being right, that you're going to reach out to the world and you're going to do the same for somebody else, to at least their day is going to be better. Something good in the world is better than nothing. A wise young man down there in the chat room, Jermaine, he says, "Don't freak out. Make use of your time on this earth and surround yourself with positive people." That's why I love that kid. He's brilliant. And if you ever seen his creativity, his work that he does with metal and things he shares with everybody, wonderful soul. You guys go check out Jermaine's YouTube channel. He's out there. If you hear this from Jermaine, throw a link down in the chat room to your YouTube channel so everybody can come over there and subscribe to you. It's what I want people to encourage the younger people of this world to keep moving forward and always reach for the stars. You know, there's a lot of terrible things go on in this world, a lot of lousy things, what we've been told. And it's going to take a lot of people, just like the ones in these chat rooms and these listening to these shows, to go out there and make that difference. So if my words coming out of my mouth could be the springboard that starts to propel everybody forward, then I think I've done my job here. And I'll continue to do it. And sometimes if you go back and listen to the old podcast, I had a friend from the past come back and say, you know, you're doing the same thing you were doing back there. You stayed consistent for all these years. I'm still out there fighting a good fight, trying to make a difference in this world. I may not always succeed. I may not even succeed. But to me, it's all worth it. You know, you got a lot of power, more power than you can possibly imagine. You got the power of the spoken word. You got the power of the pen. You got the power of your actions. And the strongest tool in your arsenal, you got the power of love. You can't ask for better than that. Once you learn how to utilize those tools, you know, Grandma used to have this saying that you get more bees with honey than you do with salt. And she'd always say that around about the time that one of us was cranking about something. One of us was being a grouch. We wanted something and we didn't say it politely enough. And we found out at a young age that whenever you ask out of kindness and not out of selfishness, then you get rewarded by the people around you. And when you speak respectful to those that you're trying to deliver a message, the message is usually delivered, usually received in the manner it was intended. You know, to some extent, I know I'm preaching to the choir because I know these individuals that I talk to on a regular basis in the chat rooms and stuff. But it's the folks that are just tuning in that I'm trying to tell you this. And if you are just tuning in, rewind the tape. The podcast will be up and listen to what I talked about. Because you're important. Everything you have to say is important. There will never ever be anybody else like you. It doesn't matter if you're twins or triplets or whatever, quintuplets, doesn't matter. Each and every one of you is unique in your own special way, and without you, you're that one piece of the puzzle that would never make up the big picture if you weren't around. Folks, we've been looking for solutions for so long. We've been trying to figure out a way to save the world. We've been trying to figure out a way to turn this boat around and send it in a better direction. And all along, the answer's been right there in our face. Just like the song said, it's blowing in the wind. It's right there in front of you. And if we ever chose as a whole, all of humanity, if we ever chose to utilize our gifts the way that they were meant to be used, there isn't nothing we couldn't accomplish. If we wanted to reach for the stars, we could do that. If we wanted to clean this planet up to be the most beautiful piece of artwork in the history of time, like it was when it was first created, we could do it. Heck, we've designed all kinds of chemicals to polish metals and shine up things. We even know how to make things look old if we want them to. We know how to restore things from the past. Jermaine and his father do that. They take old tractors and they put them back together and they make them look good again. It brings some life back into what would have normally just rusted and faded away. So with that said, we can preserve our histories and we can learn from all the lessons that we've ever had in life. And we can make this world a better place. And those feelings of helplessness, when they creep up on your back, you got to kick those to the curb. If I see one creeping up on your back, I'll kick it to the curb for you. If you see one creeping up on me, you kick it to the curb. That's about the only way we can do is watching each other's back. Making sure that while we're out there trying to do the things that we do to make the world a better place, that we all stay safe, because it is sort of a jungle out there. It is a world of chaos. If everybody in this world had that little mindset, that little bit of belief in their own heart, that little faith in themselves, I'm not saying that you have to have faith in the divine creator. I choose to have faith in the divine creator, because I know that this is a burden that is way beyond me. But you got to believe in yourself. You got to believe in the words that are coming out of your mouth. You got to share the truth, hope, and love when it's on your mind. You really seriously think back of your life, and you think about all the times you had a really good idea but you never acted on it. How many of those ideas just went by the wayside? I mean, more ideas will go by the wayside. When you got a gift such as what you have in you, and believe me, you do have a gift, each and every one of you. When you choose to share that with the world, then you show the world who you are and what you're capable of. When you choose to hide that from the world. See, remember at the beginning of the show when I said timing? This is the moment I started saying something profound. I already called it. Go back and listen to the beginning of the show. And the moment I get ready to say something really profound, the phone's going to ring. Welcome, guys.
Hey. Yep, been listening to you.
Cool. All right, so basically, I'm hoping today on the Knights of the Round Table to reach out to the world and pull off a miracle.
Well, like I said, we've been listening to you, because that's why we joined the call.
Cool.
We like what you're saying. We like what you're talking about. And I really like the scenario you brought up about Jermaine and his dad.
Yeah.
Because Jermaine stays in touch with me quite often. And he just showed me a Lister engine that his grandfather gave him. And he's restored it completely back. That sucker looks like brand spanking new.
Yeah, I saw that. It's beautiful.
1934 Lister engine, and a boy took it back to life new. Runs like a Swiss watch.
I saw that. It's beautiful looking.
And the boy is 17 years old. Think about that a minute. How many 17-year-old teenagers do you know that have enough interest in stuff like that to do so? When most of them, I mean, 90% in the United States, they can't do anything because their thumbs are busy texting.
Well, what I'm hoping is that guys like Jermaine will inspire people, more people around him, because when they see the creativity of what he's capable of, who knows, they might try to top it. You know, they might try to do something.
He's inspired me big time.
Well, if he can inspire you, Raymond, and, you know, at your age and all the things you've seen, then, you know, that's proof of what I've been saying.
Yes.
You throw those positive pebbles out in the pond on a daily basis without ever, you know, expecting anything in return. You know, you'll find out something that is really profound and amazing. It always seems to come back. It comes back, you know, in overwhelming abundance. The good things that you do in this world. Now, I know there's a lot of folks out there that might disagree with that, because there's a lot of individuals that have had a really hard time of life.
Yep.
You know, I myself suffer some adversities that frustrate me to the extent where I'm saying, you know, what in heck is the point? You guys have heard it. You've heard me talk on the shows a few times where you could just feel the frustration in my voice.
Oh, yeah.
But somehow or another, it seems like, well, like this morning, when I woke up this morning and I got a video that I posted out there called Black Eye. It was the very first video that I ever did on YouTube. But there was only one comment ever on that video. It had some 400 some odd views, two thumbs up and two thumbs down. And nobody ever commented on the video, not even just to say, yeah, that was a stupid video. But I finally got a comment, and out of that comment had a little conversation and actually made a friend, who's now a friend on Facebook. It was pretty cool. But the video itself isn't really significant outside unless you want to see what it really looks like to get a black eye. You know, like in 3D, if you read the description, it says, see what it looks like to get a black eye, and you get, if you put one hand over your eye and watch the screen real close, and you'll see. And you won't actually have to feel the pain of getting a black eye, but nonetheless, it's about the same. See the little stars and the little bright lights and the, you know what I'm saying.
I misunderstood you the first time you said it. I thought you said black ice. I-C-E.
No, black eye.
No, yeah, black eye. I've had a couple of those.
Woo! Do you remember the stars and stuff that you see whenever that happens?
Yeah. Golly. Yeah, flash a light like you wouldn't quite believe. And it's not the bright light at the end of the tunnel, boy. This is a really flash of bright light. I mean, just, oh, God. Woo! I've had a few black eyes. Lord have mercy.
Oh, and Jermaine corrected you. He's 16, not 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That boy's still teaching you, young man.
Yes. Hey, did you know that kid 16 years old is 6'2"?
He's a big dude. I'm 6'2", but I'm skinny.
Yeah, in his videos, he doesn't look like it. He looks like a 16-year-old kid. He looks like he ought to be about 5'6", 5'7", but he's 6'2". Boy, he's 16 years old. He has not hit his last growing spurt yet. Can you imagine what he's going to be? He's going to be a giant, man. Well, and the thing is, not just in height, but in his brain power. The kid is a super genius. He's an artist. He takes his knowledge of science and actually injects his artistic abilities. Like a digester engine. I mean, my God, who ever dreamed that you could take an old piece of crap like that and make it look like brand spanking new and work like new? The boy's a genius and an artist, and he combines the two.
And he's a real pleasure to talk to.
Yes, he is. He talks smart. He doesn't talk like a daggone kid, you know?
Yep. So anyway, folks, what I started off to point out in this show right here, if you listen to that song by Bob Dylan, it's really not the greatest song in the world. But I picked that one specific video because of the pictures in the background, and it really actually kind of speaks louder. There's a whole lot of people. The song, by the way, again, is Blowing in the Wind. And basically, if you click on the Wikipedia link, they talk about that song being, the meaning of the song being that the answer is so obvious, it's right there in your face. You know, to solve all the problems of the world, the peace and stuff. You know, how many times does how many people have to die before we finally realize, it's wrong? And I feel like sometimes I'm preaching to the choir, but I still have to say these things because there's folks out there that might just be tuning in, or maybe we'll find a podcast somewhere down along the line, and I want them to know that, the Knights of the Round Table, we got it. We understood it. And we decided we were going to move forward and try to use that power that we got to reach out and make the world a better place. Somehow, some way. So that's what we chose to do. You know, I said earlier, I said, I wish that I had the power. I wish that I could reach out and I could touch the world and I could make all the wrongs right. I wish I could make the world a better place and heal the sick. And man, you got to grease that chair. Somebody send Raymond some axle grease to his house so that he could put it on that chair, please.
And if I do, I'm going to take the chair out and put it out in my shop. I like the. I'm going to get a new chair and put this one in the shop because I like the sound.
All right, so now I think I lost my train of thought where I was going there.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, anybody remember what the last thing I was saying before that? Anyway, I wish I had that power. I wish I had the power to reach out and touch the world and make it right. I wish I had the power to fix it all, but I don't. I'm just an average guy. And it took this morning's episode to make me realize that maybe in some sense of the way I am reaching out. Because in my book, it said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed that you could move a mountain. Well, I feel like I got the faith of a mountain and all I'm doing is moving mustard seeds. But maybe I'm moving that one mustard seed, which in turn is moving the next one, which in turn is moving the next one, and in the inspiration of the words that are coming out of my mouth are traveling like that ripple across there. So maybe when I thought that my miracle wasn't working, it was actually happening right before my very eyes, and I was just too blind to see. So I throw these positive pebbles out in the pond and I don't seem to get the results that I wanted to fast enough, and my impatience is blinding me to the actual miracle of what's actually occurring before my very eyes. And the same thing applies to all the people who's ever stood at the Knights of the Round Table and opened up their mouth and shared their own individual words of wisdom with the world. They were doing the same thing, which was inspiring that same miracle to come to pass. When I listen to the words and the profound thoughts of my friends and the people in the chat room, I can actually visualize that big dream coming true. It's, like I said, we may not live long enough to witness the fruits of our labor, to enjoy those fruits. But if we planted those seeds and then down the line it actually came to pass, the dream, the miracle really happened. I hope that people out there understand what I'm trying to point out here.
You know, you said something a while ago that brought something to my mind. I've been on the show with you for 2-3 years now. And you've been on it for 4, 5, 6 years. And, you know, after a while, it gets kind of redundant and this, that, and other. But then you just said something a minute ago. We're constantly growing all the time. We're gaining more and more listeners. When I joined the show, you had 180,000 listeners. We have over 8 million listeners today. So, really, a redundancy is not that redundant to some of those people out there that are listening. They've only been listening to us for the past couple of months. So, you know, so the listeners that's been with us for a while, please don't get upset if we say the same thing over and over again. There's other people that haven't heard us, but they're new, you know?
Well, help
us. Join us.
I talked to a friend from the past. Somebody used to listen to my show way in the past, and he told me some stories, and I was inspired by hearing that because he said that I'm as consistent today as I was back then. I set out to do something back then that I'm still working towards now. And it's been many times along the line I tried to give up. I honestly did. You know, I don't let you, Scott. Yeah. I'm only human. I'm no Messiah. I'm nobody special. I'm just an average Joe, just like all of you out there. And that's why I say that whenever I listen intently with what you got to say, the words that are coming out of your mouth. Because there will only be one of you. If you have a talent and you're not sharing that with the world, you're cheating the world of what is you. You're cheating the world and you're cheating yourself of what you could actually accomplish to make this world so much better. You know, there's only one person with your point of view. And even though you're not going to get anybody else to agree, because everybody has their own point of view, but it doesn't make yours any less significant than theirs. And so every action that you do out there into this world in a positive manner to try to make this world a better place, it's moving that mountain. The mountain that in my book said, if I had the faith of a mustard seed, that I could move a mountain. Well, I had the faith of a mountain, and all I was moving was a mustard seed. Because I was too blind to see that by repeating these words that come out of my mouth, even as they might sound redundant or even preaching to the choir, I could just continue to say what I said to deliver that message and just drive it home. That's how you got to do it. When you go out there in the world and you decide that you're going to smile on the world and you're going to make the world a better place, then don't take that smile off your face. Keep it there till it hurts.
You know, I've had friends of mine tell me that I'm one of the weirdest people they've ever seen, because I take almost, not every, but almost every bad situation and turn it around and look at it and see something positive. Now, you've got the faith to move mountains. But you're actually moving mustard seed. Well, move the mountain and let's plant the mustard seed and grow some fruit. That's my attitude.
Well, that's a good plan. You just add to the dream. You're going to feed people on the way. That's the whole deal, man. See, what I was trying to say is that, you know, if you got a 500-piece puzzle, you take one of those pieces and you throw it out the window, that picture will never, ever be complete. Alright, and so while I'm sitting out there pushing on this mountain one mustard seed at a time, I'm picking up people like you. You got skills and talents, and you're so unique that there's nothing, nobody in the world will ever be Raymond. Nobody. They can't, nobody will ever be able to do what you do in the same way that you do it. You're an individual. And you are that one missing piece that, thank God, didn't get thrown out the window.
Thank you.
That's why, you know, when I talk about how it's a shame that all these people out there in this world are dying, man, we're losing doctors and we're losing lawyers and scientists and we're losing, well, I know Raymond probably happy about losing the lawyers, but you understand my point nonetheless.
By the way, what do you call 500 lawyers wearing concrete galoshes at the bottom of the Hudson Bay?
Well, I'd call it a tragedy, but I know the joke, so.
Alright, it's a dang good start.
Alright, so anyway, look. Every time
we
lose someone.
I told my brother that joke.
Yeah, I believe it. But my point, it should be as obvious as the wind. You know? It's right there in your face. That all these people that we've lost, It's a loss for humanity. You know, that darkness just got a little wider. That little strip of darkness. Well, in some people's worlds, it's a big strip of darkness because they live right there on the edge of the chaos. And somehow or another, you know, some of us have taken the chance and risk to step into that darkness and try to shine some light and say, hey, you know, it's a little bit better over on this side. Yeah, you know, you got a little bit more light. You can see to do things, you know. That's what my hopes are, but by putting this network together, that's what the dream is to bring all these networks. If you jump over there to the superchat.html, you'll see there's three separate networks there, three separate chat rooms. And if you look around, there's links to other radio stations that pretty much are like-minded individuals saying pretty much the same thing. Trying to tell you that you aren't helpless and that this world isn't hopeless. You know, some folks come out there with all kinds of doom and gloom, and if you listen to them long enough, you'll start to believe it. The world is coming to a tragic end. And on the path that we are on, yeah, we're heading down the path to sure destruction. Molly Hatchet sung a song, Flirting with Disaster. You know, we're literally flirting with disaster. There's things in this world that need to be resolved, but we have the power to do so if we ever so choose. You know, sometimes my words don't come out right, and sometimes they offend even my friends. And sometimes I do paint with a wide brush, and not intentionally, but I do. And it's been done to me too. But I'm trying to put something out there. I'm trying to put something out there that nobody else in this world can give. Does it make me any better than anybody else out there on the planet? I'm trying to give something that only I can give. And that's my personal perspective on the world. Does it mean that my personal perspective on the world is the right one? It just means it's the way that I see the world.
Doesn't mean it's the wrong one either. It's just, again, like you said, it's just how you feel. And what the way you feel could spur somebody else to get their own feelings about the same situation. Like I said, we get sometimes really redundant. But at the same time, what's the best way to teach? Redundancy. So finally, somebody listening has heard it for the 50th time, and it'll jog, because of their situation in their life at that moment, it'll jog something in their head. You see what I'm saying?
Yep. I've experienced that myself, you know. Sometimes I might have to do things 10, 20, 50, or 100 times before finally a little light clicks in your head, and wow, it was easier than I thought it was, you know? Folks, I've been looking for a miracle, and I hadn't realized all along that the miracle had been setting right before my very eyes all along. That when I asked my Creator for a miracle, my Creator gave it to me. You told a joke one time a while back, Raymond, something about a guy that kept on, he was trying to be saved, and everybody that kept coming by in the boat and the submarine or whatever, you know, that he kept rejecting the help. And then finally gets up there, and God says, well, you know, I sent all this stuff to you, and what more do you want?
Right.
You know, well, that was me, Raymond. That was me all along. I kept on and kept on. Whoa, you know, Lord, why have you forsaken me? No, you got a radio station, Shaziz. You got a YouTube channel, and you got a voice, and you've talked to all these people, and, you know, you've spread your message. That's what you wanted.
Why has thou forsaken me?
Huh?
And I said, Lord, why has thou forsaken me? And a booming voice comes from heaven and says, I sent you a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What do you want?
Yep.
Huh. Really? I mean, you know, God helps those that help themselves.
Well, folks, the answer to my prayer, the answer to my miracle was you, each and every one of you. Ain't no joke. That's a fact. Because I realized that, you know, by myself, I'm just a man. But with all of you and all of our move forwards to push that mountain that we've been trying to move, it's moving. Even if it's only one positive pebble at a time.
Pushing around all these mustard seeds, the thing is, he can't find them for you. He's pushing the mustard seeds. You've got to get out there and take one of them and put it in the ground.
That's right. That's the deal, man. So, you know, like I said, I wish that all people would have the same perspective as me, but I'm realizing that they're never going to have the same perspective. They're going to be able to take the bits of pieces of my life that they feel are worthy to introduce into their life, and they're going to adopt it of their own free will. And so the best that I can do is be the best that I can be. It's as simple as that. I can't do no more and no less if I want to ever make this vision come to pass. You know, I realize that you and Thomas are the two pieces of the puzzle closest to me that make that big picture. And while I'm out there gathering up other pieces of the puzzle, you're gathering pieces of the puzzle, and Thomas is gathering pieces of the puzzle, we're laying them out there for everybody to see, to try to see that there is a better way to do things. And I think it's working.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. A better way to do things Well, all we're trying to do is jog people's minds to get them to think, because we can't come up with all the answers. What we want to do is get people out there to think and come up with more answers than we have. More pieces of the puzzle, like you said.
Yesterday, I mentioned that there's a quote, if you look it up, about everything in this world that has or will ever be invented has been invented. And it was by somebody at the patent office that had said that quote. And I'm thinking, that's disparaging, because that means that I'm never going to come up with nothing new. But what I can do, if everything out there in this world has been invented, will be invented, has already been invented, then I'm going to make it better. I'm going to take those ideas and I'm going to run with them and make them better. I have that power. Stephen said, don't push too hard on the mustard seed. They may turn into mustard gas. That's why I love that guy.
You guys got to
scroll back there and read the comment that we had about starting from my sunglasses. It got pretty funny, and I put a good visual in his head. It said at one point, where is it? I got to scroll up myself to find it. But basically, I told Steven to visualize me in these old dark sunglasses with bell bottoms, kung fu fighting. So, yeah, I just have to go back and read it in the context that the conversation was occurring at the time. It was a hoot. Anyway, if the words that I speak are inspiring anybody out there to make their life better and to understand that you are significant to the entirety of the big picture, if there's in all the universe, as large as the universe may be or as tiny as the world may be, whichever direction you go in that view right there, there's only one of you. And when that one of you is gone, that's that one piece of the puzzle that will never allow that entire plan, that grand scheme of things, to ever play out the way that it was meant to, because you're not there anymore. And that's a sad thing. You know, I told a story a long time ago how I was driving down the road out in the country on the way to see some family. And I kept passing these old houses that the windows were, broke out and trees were growing up and the houses were deteriorated. And every single time I would pass one of these houses, I would actually see a vision of the people that used to live there.
I've done that.
Their hopes and their dreams and their stories and their family get-togethers and, their lives. When you did that, Raymond, did you feel a kind of a sinking feeling in your gut of despair that somebody's story either wasn't told or that I'm trying to find the right words without...
I know what you're saying. You're saying it gives a sinking feeling that there's this old house that at one time had a family in it, this, that, another, and the thing of all the kids and the laughter and the joys of playing that beautiful yard. And yes, I do. I get a sinking feeling, but I've already told you several times, I'm a positive thinker. When I start getting that sinking feeling, all of a sudden it dawns on me, look at all the homeless people in the world.
Yep. Well, then
you move in there, hand them some boards and some paint, and before you know it, that old house has come back to life.
The feeling that I got, the sinking feeling that I got, was more of a humbling experience, because it made me realize that there's only so much time in a lifetime. And there's only so many things that you can do right or wrong. So much time. You only have so much time to do it. Whatever you do, you can't get back. And it's important. Like you was talking about the kids and the laughter and the family and the fun and they was all having together and the stuff. Those were the good times, in somebody's life. And it's humbling when you look at that and you look back at your own life after seeing that house and having that vision of basically judging yourself about your own life. What have I done in my entire life? Was it worthy of the time I did it, or was I just like haphazardly tiptoeing through the tulips, you know, and without a care in the world kind of thing? I know that's probably too deep for most people to grasp, but it's just that it made me realize how important things really are. Because if a man spends his entirety of his life building up a castle and a beautiful piece of land, and once he's gone, nature just takes it all back, and then it's as if he never did the work. That may sound depressing. It really honestly may sound depressing, but if you really look deeper into it, you would understand how important those times were, because while he was doing all that work, and his family, his kids were running through the yard and enjoying it and having all them get-togethers, his work did not go in vain, because those pictures, those images, like the image I put in Stephen Gibbons' head of me in bell-bottoms of sunglasses, that's forever ingrained in his mind. He'll never be able to get that out of his head. But that message will carry over with their families, and they'll try to replicate it to their version of what they think would be neat, you know? Folks, you got a lot of power, but you don't have a lot of time. You know, that sounds depressing. Maybe unless we can all figure out a way to find the fountain of youth, that they talk about, where we all go drink the glass of water and we're all young again. Unless that's happening, we're all getting older day by day.
Your body gets out alive and you can't take it with you.
Yeah. You go out of the world the same way you came in. Butt naked and broke.
Really?
Oh, man. Sometimes you got to learn to laugh in the face of adversity, or life will get you down. You know, we look out at this world, and you know, some people, they find amusement in some of the strangest things. And when you watch people, it's like if you could fast forward the earth, it'd be like some sort of slapstick comedy / tragedy movie of epic proportions. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you just rewind my life and watch it. Let me tell you a funny story. This happened just here recently. I was out at my father-in-law's house. We went out and I was helping him work on some tractors and stuff, and we were doing little chores around cutting some wood and stuff. And so we got done. He didn't have no more work that he needed my help on, and so I decided I was going to go out with my prospecting tools and search the creeks for minerals. So I go one way and I run into a doggone area where there's so many locust trees that there's thorns everywhere, and so I thought better of that and decided to head back the other direction. And keep in mind, I'm walking through some deep grass, and the next thing I know, this rabbit like runs right between my legs and scares the living crud out of me. Alright, because I thought it was a snake jumping up between my legs. It wasn't. It was a rabbit that I walked over, and I hadn't stepped on him, but he was between my legs, and he took off running through the grass, and my heart stopped. So I worked my way back down through the creek, and I'm finding this granite and these rocks, and I'm found like the mother load of granite coming out of the side of the hill, and I was piling up some rocks. Well, I'm down there in the creek, and I'm looking towards the face of this cliff while I'm doing this, and I turn around and there are 7 cows staring me down. And one of them didn't sound too friendly. He had his grunt going on. Arr, arr, you know, and he kept moving towards me. So I thought he was like the bull and he didn't want me getting next to his ladies or whatever. So I'm down there in the creek. I got my back in sort of like a cubby hole. I can't go around the cows. I can't go through the cows. The only option I have is to try to make it up this doggone cliff. And so I'm down there, and I'm a city boy. who has had just very little experience in the country, and I'm kind of fearful because the last thing that was told to me by my father-in-law, who is a lifetime farmer, is that you got to be careful around cows because they can smash you, you know. And so I'm thinking, I'm going to get squished. I'm down here, I'm in the creek, I'm standing on top of this chunk of granite that's in the middle of the creek, and I start looking at these cows. Well, I start talking to the cows. I start giving them a geology lesson, telling them about granite and, you know, that where you find granite, you can find quartz and potentially glacier gold. And I'm sitting there talking to them, and I got all these cows' attention. They're looking at me intently. They're paying attention, right? So then I just right out of the blue, I raise my hand, point in the air, and I say, 67 years ago, our founding father set forth to find a new universe, right? And so I'm down there, I'm out, these cows are looking at me like I'm crazy, right? Well, yeah. I'm just trying to calm myself because I'm nervous because I don't know what to do. I can't go around the cows, can't go through the cows, I can't go left or right, and the only place I can go is up. So that one cow that was doing the most of the grunting, he's a bull, I guess. Anyway, he's doing most of the grunting. He kind of moving a little bit closer and closer, and they're all moving in on me. The more I talk, they keep moving in on me.
Oh, Lord.
And so I turn around, I get a foothold on some roots in the side of this dirt hill, and I say, you know, I'll still talk to the cows, and I start working my way up the doggone hill, you know, and finally, I make it up to the top of the hill, and I tell them I'm on the way up the hill. When I get up the top of this hill, I got something to say to you. And so I get up the top of the hill, and I'm looking down at these cows, and I'm saying, now, I'm the king of the hill, and there ain't nothing you can do about it, right?
Right.
So I continue on my journey. I get all the way down, probably about, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile downstream, and I have my, keep in mind, I still got my prospecting gear, right? And I have like a couple gold panning deals, and I got them on strapped to my side. Well, I get all the way down there, and I find this one little spot, and I decide, well, I'm gonna try to prospect for gold right here. Well, I reach down, and my pans are gone, and I'm all freaking out now. I got to go back through the woods, try to retrace my steps in the high grass, and I'm thinking all along, I'm never gonna find these doggone pans. Two of them, you know, they're missing. One was green, and one was black, and the grass is green, and it was going to be out there in the woods somewhere, and I just ain't going to find them. I have to buy some more off eBay. So I work my way back, and I'm all frustrated. Doggone it, I ain't going to find these doggone things. And I finally ended up all the way back down to the same doggone spot. And guess what? All seven of the cows were still in the exact same place, and my bulls were sitting right down there in front of them.
Oh, Lord.
So I had to find the courage to go down the hill, confront the bulls and the cows, because I'm up there, I'm like, oh, heck no, you ain't getting my bulls. And I went down there, down the hill, the same hill I came up. I'm standing in the midst of the cows again, and I got my bulls, and I tied them back to my side there, and I pick up this big rock. And I throw it over there onto the shore, and I don't know if they thought it was food or whatever, but one of the cows goes over there and licks on it, and that one little cow going over there to lick on it, when I say little, they weren't really little, they were big. They were like huge mad cows in my eyes, because I was down there in the midst of it. Yeah. So I use that opportunity to make a break for it down the creek, and I'm running off saying, aha, you know. I get all the way back to the house, and I tell my wife and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law about it, and they're just a-rolling, they're laughing, you know, and everything, and they said that the guy who owned the cows hand-feeds these cows, and they even call one of them by name, and so when I started talking to these cows and moving my hands around, and they'd see me with a bowl or whatever, they probably assumed that I was going to feed them at some point and was getting frustrated because I wasn't.
Oh, Lord.
Yep. So, if you played my life fast forward and backwards and forward or whatever, it'd be like some sort of slapstick comedy / tragedy drama kind of. It'd be very interesting. Anyway, it just shows you that
I'll let you.
Each and every one of us, you know, are unique. There's nobody else who can tell that story because nobody else has ever lived that story, and that's me, you know. Just like all the things that you guys did.
It was a lack of knowledge. Had you known what they told you at the time, you just grabbed a handful of bread and walked up to Cal Bell and then been happy.
Yeah, and that all they said, well, all you had to do is walk through them. Well, I didn't know that. I'm a city boy. I'm thinking about my father-in-law told me that he almost got smashed by one. I got to be careful around them. And then one of them's grunting at me, and they're looking at me like they want to eat me and stuff. I said, I just thought I was surrounded by mad cows, and my only way out was up the hill.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. It was interesting, brother. But that's the thing, man. There's so many... There's so many things out there in this world that a lot of people miss out on or step over. Man, I suggest everybody who's listening to this sometime, just for giggles, just go outside and forget all your worries and just kind of take your shoes off and stand there and look around. I mean, or pay attention to nature. Just check it out. Take the time to realize what it is that's missing. You know? That you're missing out on. The kids growing up or whatever, I've heard stories of people that get so engulfed in some episode or work and they just forget about their family and they miss out on those times and, you know, they say life is short. And it's a humbling experience when you realize that it's all pretty much gone by. We're all sitting here right now and the game's not over. The miracle hasn't been complete. Or maybe it has been complete, but maybe we just don't realize it yet. Yeah, does that make any sense to you?
A lot of sense.
Ha! Stephen said that Shaziz is scared of cows. He's got a picture of a cow with a guy with a cow head doing kung fu. I'm telling you, I was in fear of my life. Telling you, I had no idea that all I could have had to do was walk through those cows, and I'd have been fine. No, they look like mad cows. They look like mad man-eating cows to me. I'm like little, and there's seven of them, and they're surrounding every exit. The only exit I had was up. And you would have seen a tall, skinny, crazy-haired, mad science guy clinging to the side of the dirt hill and grabbing roots and trees and making it up the top of the hill.
Like I said a minute ago, it was nothing more than a lack of knowledge. The knowledge you had was what your father-in-law told you about cows can be dangerous, and they can mash the heck out of you, you know, and stomp you down and whatever. That's the only knowledge you had. You had no knowledge that these cows were tame. So you drew from your knowledge.
Yep.
And what do we say? Knowledge is the most powerful thing on this earth.
Yep. Knowledge is power. That's for sure.
You know, it's
really kind of a funny story when you think about it, but you know.
It is. I mean, you were surrounded by friends, old friendly cattle, and you were scared to death.
But see, I didn't have the big picture at the time. I was down so deep in the picture that I didn't have the big picture. And it seemed so overwhelming. You know, I basically panicked and climbed up the hill like Spider-Man. You know, I made it to the top of the hill and I was tailing them off. I said, yeah, let that be a lesson to you, right? And then I go all the way down and deal, and guess what? I had to come back and face them because what I wanted was actually right down there in front of them. They didn't move. They knew I was coming back. I didn't know I was coming back. Had I known I was coming back, I would have formulated a plan and brought an army. Somebody got to chase them cows off so I can get my bowls. But no, I faced my fear and I went down amidst those cows. And I outsmarted them, I think. Yep, that's life, folks. That's life in a nutshell. From a nutcase.
Don't know all the facts. Don't didn't assume anything.
Yep.
We all try to spell assume.
So I'm hoping someday, somehow, to inspire the world, even though my craziness might not be the right way. It's the best I got. And I need to hear the best that you got. If you want to be one of the Knights of the Round Table, it's so simple. It's as simple as a Skype call. I had Thomas on as a contact on Skype, or Raymond, or myself. Any of the people out there that you hear on this show, add them as a contact. We'll drag you into the call, let you have your word. This microphone out here, it belongs to everybody. It's not my microphone. It's not my platform. It's not my web page. I may be the man behind the scene that puts the pennies in the pocket of the man that holds the website together or whatever. But this is my gift to the world. As crazy as it may seem, it's a little piece of me. That's what Shaziz Radio is all about. It's a little piece of Raymond, it's a little piece of Thomas and Steven and Jermaine and Barry and Patty and all the folks that you've heard on these networks. We all put something in here. We put words of wisdom out there. We've shared our tears and our laughter and our joy, our hopes and our dreams and our lives with each other. And we did it all out of love. Not for fame or fortune or notoriety. We did it all out of love. We did it all because we believed in that dream. And we still believe in that dream. As big as that dream is, and as hard as it may ever be to finally meet that goal, that miracle I asked for, it came to pass. It's in motion right now. You know, things might not move as quickly as we want them to, but once the miracle starts, once you get a train moving, you know how hard it is to stop a train, Raymond? You know how many miles it takes to stop a fast-moving train? Are you there? I think I lost Raymond. Anyway, I'm sure y'all get the point.
I muted my mic because I was heating my coffee up. But, your deal about the train, you take a locomotive full of 150 coal cars, and every one full of coal, you get it 60 miles an hour, that thing's going to take 40 to 50 miles to stop once you turn the engine on.
Yep. And look at the big...
The only thing stopping that train is the friction of the air.
Look at a big aircraft carrier. When they get up to full speed, it takes a while for them. They just can't just slam on the brakes and come to a complete stop.
Now, Eisenhower, at full flanking battle speed, turn the engines off, takes 40 miles before it comes to a stop.
Yeah, and that's probably even dragging some anchors.
Yep. I mean, those things run way over 100 miles an hour. But well, I tell you what, man, it's amazing what you're just talking about. You know, your cattle story reminded me of a story that happened to me when I was a young man, very young, 18. And it also reminded me of Henry Ford, in that if you believe you can't or you believe you can, then you're right. I was crossing a pasture one time. I was 18, 19 years old. I was taking a shortcut to my girlfriend's house. And I looked around, and there's nothing in the field, so I take off across the field. Next thing I know, this big old, I mean, this was a bull, mean sucker. I mean, he'd been known to kill people before. But anyway, he stepped out and snorted. Now, this time, I'm halfway across the pasture. It's the same distance one way or the other. And he's coming full blast, and I know I can't outrun him. But I see this tree, and I think, maybe I can make it to the tree before he gets me. So I take off running as fast as I can. And as I'm running, I'm looking, and the lowest limb on this tree is 2 feet higher than I have ever jumped in my life. but I know if this fool gets me, I'm dead. That's all there is to it. So what do I do? Do I lay down and let him kill me? Or do I try? Well, I ran as fast as I could. When I got to the right point, I jumped as hard as I possibly could for that limb, and I missed. But I caught it on the way down.
Yeah.
You don't know until you try. As long as you think you cannot, you will not. You cannot because you won't try. A lot of people say, well, I would like to do this, I'd like to do that. Well, get your butt up off the couch and go try.
Yeah, worst case scenario, you fail, man.
I mean, you know, 2 feet higher than I ever jumped in my life, and I missed. But I caught it on the way down.
That's good. That's a good story, man. So anyway, the song Bob Dylan, "Blowing in the Wind."
Yep.
And he's talking about the answer's right in front of your face, and we've been saying all along the answer is in front of your face, and every time you wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, you see the solutions to all the problems of the world. It's the truth. You're that mustard seed, man. And you're the one that's moving the mountain. And I got my faith behind you. And they said the faith of a mustard seed could move a mountain if that mustard seed's got the faith. And that mountain to move. Said that you say to that mountain move and that mountain to move. Now, the impatience of humankind is the key to the failure, or basically the blindness to not seeing that the miracle is actually happening. It's not moving as fast as you want it to. It's not like something out of a sci-fi movie where I go over there and I put my hand before the mountain and I say move, and the mountain just like flies across the face of the earth, you know. Don't happen,
you know,
like that.
If things don't move as fast as you would like them to, get off your butt and help push.
Yeah.
I mean, don't sit back and complain. Get up and help push. There you go.
But Barry wants to know how long it takes to stop a nuclear power plant. Well, my friend, once they start those things, there is no stopping the process once they make the actual fuel. But there are things that we can do to basically keep it contained until it does its job. I know that there's a lot of things going on in this world right now that are so overwhelming, that seem to be so beyond everything. But the point, when Jesus said that in the book, when he was telling the people that, he was trying to point out to you, you're not powerless. He said that all these miracles that I can do, you can do. These great things, and you'll do greater things. If you believe. If you think you can't, just like you said there, Raymond. Just like Henry Ford's quote, if you think you can, then you can. If you think you can't, then you can't. And I know this world, like I said, it's a mess. It's a doggone mess of epic proportions. There's so much stuff going on out there, and there's so many people going through torment and misery. And we just got to keep doing what we're doing. And maybe at some point, maybe this whole world will crash. And maybe all of our efforts will be in vain, and they'll crash.
You know, the only way you can lose is to stop fighting.
Yeah.
Do you realize as long as you're swinging, kicking, biting, scratching, pulling, you haven't lost.
But I also want to make another point. Even if we do fail, you think about this and you think about it long and hard. Even if we do fail in our quest to make the ultimate dream come true, to bring about a heaven on earth or a utopia, so to speak, The people that surround us would have suffered more misery than what they did because of our efforts. So we basically, while we were going down in the burning ball of flame, we were putting on cool ice on people's wounds, and we were putting on, you know, sharing some love and comforting them all the way through the whole deal. And we were comforting everybody. We were comforting one another. So we made it less painful than it would have been otherwise. Does that make sense?
Yep. You think you can't, you'll never try, therefore you never will. If you've never tried, you failed. You're not biting, you're not kicking, you're not scratching, you're not pulling hair. Now, I'd never jumped that high before in my daggone life, but I gave it all I got.
Well, I'm a firm believer that all...
I'm going to let the bull run me over. I'm going to do everything I can to get out of the way.
Yep. I'm a firm believer that all hope is not lost until it is completely over and there's nothing more you can do.
Exactly.
If I still have an arm, you know, there's a really rude... a graphic that I seen back in the 70s or the 80s is called The Last Great Act of Defiance. Look it up. Last Great Act of Defiance.
Right.
And essentially, it's an eagle swooping down on a mouse, on a little field mouse, and he knows he's going to die. And his last act of defiance was to give that bird...
The bird, yeah.
He gave that bird the finger. He says, you know what? I'm going now. This is for you. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we're all doing. Maybe we're out here and the pains are so much, we're giving our last great act of defiance saying, you know, I'm not going down like this. Maybe you're going to do me in, but this is what we're going to fight until we can't fight no more.
Right.
And I honestly believe that our Creator didn't put us down here to fail. I believe we were put down here to learn something so valuable, so profound. And that picture that I always talk about that's on the Knights of the Round podcast page, the one with the puzzle, the people circling the puzzle, and there's one piece not put in, and there's one person standing outside the circle, and it says on that picture that you are the missing piece of the puzzle. I believe that is the message that we were all supposed to learn, that I can't do things without you, Raymond. I need you. I need Thomas, I need Barry, I need Stephen and Jermaine and Patty and all those folks from all these networks. I need them all.
Thing is, if you weren't here, we still wouldn't have the full puzzle.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's a good reason why you and everybody else like keep me propped up, motivated. Come on back. We got this, you know. Yeah, I know it hurt, but, you know, we got to keep up. You know, Grandpa used to say, you know, keep your chin up.
Yeah.
You know?
Fall down, you scrape your knee. You can lay there and cry all day long until the buzzards come and eat you. Or you put a band-aid on it and get your daggone butt up off the ground and go.
That's what I think we have to do. Barry wants to be added to the conversation.
There's people out there right now listening to us and, well, I wish I could do something to help. Well, you're not going to do a daggone thing until you get up off of your butt. Well, I'm kind of guarding.
Well,
help your older neighbor that can't have walk. Go over and help cut his grass.
I'm always saying that if you do something, then at the very least something gets done. And if you do nothing, then absolutely nothing gets done.
Exactly.
And I'd prefer to, even if I'm going down in a ball of flames, you know, I'm kind of like that guy in that one... optimist, pessimist deal that said the guy's falling out of the skyscraper, and some guy halfway at the halfway point asked the guy, how's it going? And he said, so far so good. You know, he ain't hit the bottom yet.
I like that one. I like that one.
How you doing, Barry?
Oh, I've had better days than this. I'm being cursed with this cold right now, this sickness, and it just won't go away.
Yeah, so. I kind of inadvertently mentioned your plight. I didn't say your name or nothing, but I know there's people out there going through some things. I happen to see the conversation over in the TCT fans chat room. And I noticed that you weren't feeling well.
This is the time of year that I'm supposed to be out in the bush working right now. It's the time of year to make money, and I don't have the energy to move right now. So, I don't know. It's got to go away here soon, but I don't know what's going on. Just it's a nagging cold, and a lot of people have this up here. It just won't go away, and it gets into your chest, it gets into your bones, and man, I'll tell you, I'm a pretty healthy guy, but this is not fucking me.
Do you by chance know if over there in Canada they sell a product called Theraflu?
I think they sell that.
All right, well, take my advice, because I know I'm kind of anemic, and I know whenever I get sick, I really get sick. It tears me up. But I'm a firm believer in that particular product. It comes in like lemon flavor. I don't know if you like lemon, but you put it, just a small coffee cup, put some hot water in it, and soak that in there and gulp it all down, and I guarantee you that it will take all the flu-like and cold-like symptoms out away from you. It works. Works for me every time. And if you have the other problem that, you know, from the other end down there, there's another product out there that I use regularly if I had that issue. That it's called Imodium AD, but it comes with a warning that you only want to use this once, because it's like putting a cork in there. All right. And one time, don't take two doses of it.
You gotta remember, with medication to make the symptoms go away, you still have the virus or the.
Well, sure, but I'm not just. I'm just like
the problem with these medications that take the symptoms away. People start feeling good, so then they start going back outside in the cold weather again.
Raymond, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm just saying temporary relief, that's the best product that I've found on the market.
The secret word is temporary relief. Yeah. Two words. Don't go take it and feel good and think you're over it. You're not. You will not get old on with medications like that. Your body has to heal itself.
Well, I'm no doctor, Barry, but I can tell you.
If you've got a cold that lasts more than 10 days, then you got a second cold just before that other one ended.
Yeah, I'm no doctor, Barry, but I can tell you that works for me. Just give it a try, you know.
Right. I mean, there's no point in going through pain and suffering if you get relief. But just because you got relief doesn't mean that you're well.
Exactly.
A lot of fluids.
All right. Well,
exactly. I started feeling good there a couple of days ago, and I went out and pounded the bush for a couple of days, and now I'm worse than I was before. So, I was out day before yesterday and the day before that, and then bang, last night it was just like, oh, hell on the body. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But anyway, all that being said, guys, I don't have much energy, but I'm not my normal self right now. My lungs are congested, and holy smokes, man, I hope this goes away quick, because I hate being sick.
Yeah.
Especially when there's money to be made. And like I said, this is the time of year I should be in the bush right now today, and I'm feeling really terrible that I can't get out there. But all that being said, there's lots of other people in the world with bigger problems than I have right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, but see, Barry, we were talking earlier about people's stories being significant. While you were telling your story, I actually visualized you actually being out there in the bush and how much enjoyment you get out of going out there and being part of nature and finding things and being able to earn a living doing it, you know, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's your unique story, man. Thanks for sharing it.
Make a living doing something that you love, you've got it made. You've got the life that, I mean, it's unbelievable. It really is. As long as you love what you do, keep on doing it.
Well, as long as this old body will allow me to keep doing it, I will keep doing it. Let's put it that way.
Cool.
But who knows how many more years I have at 62 in the bush, I don't know. I know guys up here that are 75 years old, and they're out doing this on a regular basis. So,
you know,
hopefully I can do it until I'm 75.
When I turned 70 years old, I wrote my mother an email, told her that I was getting a little bit on board time, but not really. In other words, I was looking for something to do. I told her I was going to try to expand my business 2-3 times its size. She wrote me back. She says, "You're dead gone fool. You're 70 years old. Retire and find something that you like." And I wrote her back and I said, "Mother, why would I stop doing what I love and then try to find something I like? I love what I do. And you love what you do. And you make a living at it. I make a living at what I do. Why would you stop doing something that you love and then try to find something that you like? If you love your job, stay at it. You live long."
So, we added you to the call, so that meant you had a story to tell, Barry. No?
I don't know if I have much of a story to tell today, Shaziz. Like I said, I'm really low energy right now, and I shouldn't even have called in, but I thought I'd just come in and say hello for a minute and enjoy listening to you guys talk as usual.
You know, the good thing about...
Usually I'm full of energy, and usually I've got something to say. Now, what we're talking about, what story do we want to talk about here? I'm kind of lost.
Well, we've been sitting here today. We started off, and I started talking about that song about the answer, "Blowing in the Wind" by Bob Dylan. I also talked about a video that I first put out, and I woke up this morning, and it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. You know, I've been praying my Lord for a miracle, and I didn't realize all along that miracle was actually in progress. You know, I said that I wish that I could reach out and I could touch the world and I could heal the sickness and stop all the wars and make all the rights the wrongs right again. And you know, I can't. I'm just a man. You know, and that's when I realized that, you know, I'm just one of those pieces of the puzzle, and I think that when we were put here for a purpose, and to find out that I can't do things without Barry. I can't do things without Thomas. I can't do things without Raymond. I'm not saying I'm helpless without you guys per se. I can do things. But to make that miracle move, I've been sitting here. Jesus said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to the mountain and you could have that mountain move. You could tell that mountain to move and that mountain would move. But it didn't sink into me what was happening there. We always use the phrase throwing positive pebbles into the pond. And those positive pebbles sending the ripples out. Well, while I have the faith of a mountain, I'm only moving mustard seeds. Those positive pebbles, you see what I'm saying?
Barry just asked a question. What kind of stories are we telling? We're telling stories to inspire people, to jog their memory, jog their mind, make them think. And Shaziz said about, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, that all you have to do is speak to the mountain and it'll move. That reminds me of another story where these two Aggies decided that after they got out of college, they wanted to, you know, be farmers. So they bought a farm. Well, they didn't have much money left, so they couldn't buy a tractor, so they figured they'd buy a mule. And they heard this one guy had an old mule that he wanted to sell dirt cheap, so they went over and asked the farmer, said, "How much do you want for a mule?" He said, "Well, I'll take $250. So he said, "Well, is he a good mule?" "Oh, well, yeah, he'll do anything you say. He understands English perfectly. He'll do anything you say. He's the best mule in the county." So they gave him the money, took him home. Next morning, they got him, hooked him up to the plow, they get him. And he just stood there. Yep. Well, and the mule just stood there. So they went back over to the farmer and said, "You said he'd do anything we said. He won't do anything we say." The farmer said, "Huh, that's strange." So he walks over, goes over to the farm with him, and looks at the mule, walks over, picks up the 2x4, whack! Right between the ears. The mule dropped to his knees. Said, "Get up!" The mule looked at God, started pulling that guy up out. And the guy said, What did you do? Well, duh. You got to have faith. First of all, you got to get its attention. All right. There's stories that are funny, but at the same time, they tell a story. They teach you things. They jog your memory.
You can get anybody to do anything you want.
Yeah, but I'm not wanting to run around hitting everybody with a 2x4.
Yeah, 2x4 doesn't sound like a good idea.
You don't have to do it with violence. You can do it with food. You can do it with teaching. Like Shazid, he wouldn't have been afraid of those cattle had he known the truth, the whole story. He had the knowledge that they were friendly cattle. They just came up to him looking for food. He wouldn't have been afraid, but he didn't have that knowledge. He had the knowledge that he was taught that cattle can hurt you. He said can. He didn't say will. You know? And I mean, it's like me and my story of jumping up and out of the tree. I didn't know I could really do that, until I tried. We're trying to tell stories to jog people's minds, make them think. Get off the couch. You're sitting here, you're listening to us, and you say, wow, I wish I could do what these guys do. You can! If you think you can. But as long as you think you cannot, you will not.
Well,
you don't even try.
In all the universe.
Run you over and gore you to death? Or are you going to try?
In all the universe, our Creator saw it fit to basically make all these people. And each and every one of them was made unique. There's never, ever going to be another Barry Prince. Never. There's nobody in this world can do what Barry does in the way that
Barry
he does.
Can't inspire somebody else to do what they want to do.
Yeah. And that's how the whole miracle is actually in plays, because the inspiration that goes out to all the different people inspires them to use their talents and their gifts, because everyone out there has a gift whether they recognize it or not. I got my answer when I prayed for my miracle. I got my answer. My miracle is in play right now. It's happening. I'm moving that mountain. I'm moving it one pebble at a time, and it's moving really slow, but by God, it's moving.
Because if people don't like the way that the speed at which you're going, then get off their lazy butt and help push.
Well, that's...
So, ask you, if you don't like the speed at which we're going, come help push. We invited people hundreds of times to join the show. Join. You think we have a good idea? You think we're good ideas, but we're not doing it fast enough? Come help.
Well, that's the thing. It's, I think... If I could look through the eyes of the Creator and the divine plan, I don't know what divine plan, the totality of it is, but I can get a good idea that if you put all these people down there and you give one person all the power and all the knowledge and all the gifts, then that one person pretty much ends up being in charge, and what's the point? Well, the big... Hold on there. Hold on there, Raymond. The big point...
We have 9 million listeners. If 10% of them, just 10%, would get off their duff...
Raymond!
Can you imagine what we could accomplish?
Alright, look. If all these people out here... They all have their own specific talents. They're all pieces of the puzzle, and without any of them, the grand picture just can't be complete. When people realize what's actually been put in front of us, then we get down here and we one of the first questions that humanity asks is, why are we here? Where did we come from? And there's argument and debate whether we evolved from monkeys or were created in a flash with a spoken word. But nonetheless, we all still have to figure out what it's all about, what life is all about. And to say that I can't do things without any of you, that sounds ridiculous. I can do things, but I can't move that mountain by myself without you. I'm using my faith of the size of a mountain, and I'm only moving mustard seeds. And so that made me discouraged, thinking I'm not getting nothing done. But I move a mustard seed, the mustard seed moves a mustard seed, and so on down the line, the positive pebbles, the ripples, the smile that we keep on talking about going from your face to the next face to the next face, that mountain's getting moved. the mountain out there is the people. That's the mountain that I'm trying to move. And I'm moving them one positive pebble at a time. I'm getting them doing that. So I asked my Lord, I said, you know, help me understand. Help me move this mountain. And all along I've been moving the mountain, but I kept on not seeing. Just like the joke you told, Raymond, about the doggone guy that kept getting sent cars and trucks and planes or helicopters or whatever, and he kept on asking the Lord, why'd you forsake me? And all along, he got his answer.
Hey, you know, that was a joke, but here's a real story for you. I mean, real, it truly exists. In fact, there's several videos on YouTube about it, all right? It's a Cape Buffalo young calf. And he's on the edge of the bank of the lake. He went down to get a drink of water. There is a crocodile that has one of his back legs in his mouth trying to pull it in the water. There's two female lions grabbed the Cape Buffalo by the front shoulder and the neck, and they're pulling it, trying to get it out of the water. The calf is screaming and hollering, and he's fighting back. He's kicking. He's biting. He's doing everything he can. And then there's this whole herd. I mean, it must have been at least 100, 150 Cape Buffalo over there, maybe, you know, 100, 150 feet away, and they're watching. Well, after about 5 or 6, 8 minutes of this, and this is calf, I mean, he's stubborn. He's not giving up. He's kicking at this crocodile. He's goring at these lionesses. He's kicking them, biting them, doing whatever. He's fighting back. Well, next thing you know, this old-timer stops and thinks, well, dang, this kid's got a lot of spirit. Maybe I ought to go over and see what's going on. So he starts heading that way, and sure enough, there's 5 or 6 others, older buffalo, start following. Next thing you know, there's about 15 grown buffalo and 2 female lions. Well, the kid's still biting and kicking, and so, well, maybe he's worth saving. So they jump in, run the lions off. One of them jumped in the water and started glaring at the crocodile and made him turn loose. Well, now the calf's out of the water, the females come over and surround him and take him, and all the males start running the lions off. Well, 2 more female lions come out, and then the big male comes out there, and he's a big buck. And one of them says, oh, no, man, uh-uh. So he just starts charging at this male lion, this big, burly lion. Woo-hoo! So he turns and runs. That buffalo chased that sucker for a quarter of a mile. But the point is, as long as you're biting, kicking, screaming, hollering, hitting, pulling hair, you have lost. And eventually, somebody's going to come help you. But they're not going to help you if you just lay down and let this cow run all over you and stomp you to death like I didn't do. I'm not going to lay down and let some bull run over me. I'm going to do everything I can. The moral of the story is whatever help comes, take it. Okay? But don't give up. I mean, you're not finished until you're dead. The ultimate sign of defiance, the mouse laying down on his back with shooting the bird to the bird, trying to kill him. The ultimate sign of defiance. You don't give up, period. If you think you cannot, then you can't. If you think you can, then you need to try, because you just might succeed. But that's a real story. If you don't believe me, look it up on YouTube. That kid didn't stop. He kept kicking at that thing on the crocodile. He kept biting and kicking at the lioness until finally somebody came and got some help.
Well, I guess we're all fighting our crocodiles.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't fight. Once they're in the trap, they just lay down and die.
Yeah, well, we're here to inspire them. That's why.
Don't do that.
We're here to inspire them. That's why.
Exactly.
Look, like I said, I believe my miracle's in progress right now. And, you know, I wished I could reach out and I could just touch the world and solve all the problems, but I can't. I'm just a man. By myself, I can't do. I can do some pretty cool things, but you add somebody else with their talents together, we can do some even cooler things. And the more we add to the mix there, the more people out there opening doors for people and smiling on one another and doing acts of charity and goodwill, the larger that dream becomes and the faster that mountain begins to move. And once we get that mountain rolling, there ain't no stopping it.
You know, you said something about the acts of charity. There's one act of charity that will do more good than most people realize, doesn't cost you a dime, and it actually makes you feel good, and doesn't cost you anything. And we said this about 2 months ago on the show. Smile. At someone you don't even know, as they walk by, just smile.
Yep.
It makes you feel good to smile, but when they smile back, it makes you feel 5 times better. And trust me, 9 out of 10 will smile back. I mean, a smile. It's not a challenge. It's the truth. I mean, you want to make it a challenge? I'll make it a challenge. Smile at 10 people today that you don't even know and see what happens. I mean, come on. It takes 250 muscles less to smile than it does to frown. So why are you frowning?
Well,
why are you frowning? Oh, things are so bad in my life. Well, you woke up this morning, didn't you? You're still alive. Duh. No matter how bad your life is, when you wake up, you've got a chance to change it. It's when you don't wake up that you can't change anything.
Well, I look at it, news out there in the world and all the things that's going on, and it can literally be an overwhelming deal. Once you go down the rabbit hole, it's not as easy to pull up out of there. Sometimes we get folks as lost down in the matrix, and we got to reach down and we got to pull them up. And look, hold on a second.
To smile, and it's so powerful. It is so unbelievably powerful.
Raymond, I get it.
Yeah.
But listen.
Well,
I'm probably a heretic in my own Christian community because of the views that I got. But when I look at the words that were spoken to me in the book that I use for my book of faith, I take those things that Jesus used to use as parables, that I take them literal, and I think about them. And I think about whether or not, I have the power to do anything. But if you read into those words and you actually think about what's being said, we weren't put here to fail. And even though it says in the last days that there's going to be a lot of stuff going down, these things must come to pass, lest these days be shortened. Says that these going to come about.
You know, thing is, what is a parable? It's a story that makes a point.
Yeah.
It's like the mouse lying on his back shooting the eagle, the bird.
I'm making an attempt to make
a
point.
Something happened, but it's the ultimate display of defiance. It's a parable.
I'm making an attempt to make a point.
I know that exactly. And it's like your story about the cattle and being caught that little bitty ravine all by yourself. I mean, it's a parable, it's a story, but it makes a point. And that's what I love about telling stories.
My point.
So it's not more than just a story to make you laugh. It's a story to make you think. If you think you can, you can.
My point is that I'm trying to, and everybody else out there is trying to make sense of everything that's going on, and it can get disparaging. There's so many things that are happening in the world that are just way beyond one man's control. I realize that we all are pieces of the puzzle, and I can't save the world. One man alone can't save the world, but many, many, many millions of men and women can. We got a power to us that is a whole lot more powerful than we realize. Just the power of love alone is more powerful than anything that you can imagine out there. You know, I've seen a lot of different videos out there where there are villains in there, and the villain, even the villain, has a soft spot for, like, you know, somebody that they see injustice happening to. And I think that everybody out there, every single man, woman, child out there, have that potential to go in either direction, to be either doggone mean or the best that they can be. And that act of kindness, leading by example, the smile that you trade from your face to somebody else's and it just transfers to the next one, that's the true power. And the best thing about it is, no matter how hard you try, you just can't empty your heart of love. You can allow your heart to go cold where you won't let no love out, but you never ran out of it. It's still there. Otherwise, you wouldn't be bothered by anything. You wouldn't be frustrated when you see somebody being done wrong. You still have that love in your heart, even in the worst of times. Even during the apocalypse, everybody's running around trying to save each other. Even if all hope is lost, they're still making the attempt. They may lose their own life in the process, but they're out there. They're making the attempt. Firefighters running into flaming buildings and police running into dangerous situations and the average Joe jumping out of their car, running over to rescue somebody from a flaming wreck. There's example after example all over this world of people just doing the exact same thing. And people during tragedies, when flood zones, it's the average Joe that's running in there trying to help somebody out. It's the average Joe that reaches in their pocket and helps somebody out. It's the average Joe that goes over there and gives the resources and blankets and clothing to the people that need them. That's part of that power. The power of your actions and leading by example. That's part of that power. And so the message that I got from that good book was that we are powerful. It came with a warning. That if we go down the path that we're all on right now. And when I say we all, I'm talking about the world as a whole. We are all on the same path because we're all in the same boat. We all live in the same world. We breathe the same air. We are on the path to sure destruction, the way that humanity's going. There's still people out there fighting amongst each other. There's still sickness. There's still robbing and raping and looting and pillaging and terrible things. But the great people of the world, the great people of all nations, have gathered together on networks like these. And they've put out words of wisdom and hope and ideas and solutions to problems. So we ain't licked yet. And if somehow, some way, we can literally succeed to completely move that mountain, which is the people of the world, we will unleash the true power of our Creator. The cataclysmic alternative? Same thing. Nothing happens under the sun without our Creator. That comes from my own personal belief. So it could go either way. Total destruction or total utopia. I'm shooting for utopia because I believe in the dream. And if I can move that mountain, if my measly little words can reach out and inspire the rest of that mountain to want to move, then it's worth it to me. You know, somebody one time told me something that was so disparaging that I just almost gave up. I almost lost my faith over some simple words. That's how powerful your words are. Somebody once told me that my words were nothing more than filthy rags to God. And I looked at that, I was like, my gosh, if that's true, then that means God doesn't love me. And it broke my heart.
Why? You knew it was a lie.
Well,
bullcrap. Man was just trying to cut you down and you let it.
Listen, no, you're missing my point there, Raymond.
No, I'm What it is, you let an idiot affect your mind. An idiot. No, you don't do that.
I got to thinking. After that, those words were spoken, and my book said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, I know the folks out there don't believe that. I can't force my beliefs on nobody. But to put that in perspective, to think about somebody that is the creator giving the ultimate sacrifice in order to save me would tell me that my words aren't filthy rags to my God. And so I prayed. I asked for a miracle. I asked to move a mountain because I saw the world was in need. And I'm out here and I'm trying to move the mountain. I got a faith of a mountain and I'm only moving a mustard seed. And I'm getting frustrated because I'm thinking, well, this ain't happening. Well, all along my miracle was in progress and I didn't realize it because my words were resonating out there. There were other people out there that felt the same way, that were saying the same prayer, that wanted to move that mountain. They had that love in their heart that they wanted the world a better place for everybody, not just anybody, everybody. All their brothers and sisters all over this world, they wanted that dream to come true for them. They wanted to see people living in peace. They wanted to see people out there, families, doing family things and enjoying life and being one with nature. Everybody wanted it. And they all kept praying, and the miracle was in progress. So I understand when the book said that at the end of the last days, unless these days be shortened, then these things will come to pass. And it's common sense. If you're going down that path towards sure destruction, and you don't change your ways, and you don't change your mindset, and you don't believe in yourself or anything or anybody, then you're gonna repeat the mistakes of the past over and over again. I don't want to repeat those mistakes. So I get out here day after day, and I've been doing this for many, many years, and I preach to the choir. I sound redundant. I say the same things that I've been saying. If you go back and you listen to the podcast, I'm saying the same things that I was saying back then. Pointing out the obvious. The answer blowing in the wind. It's looking in the mirror. So the solution is and has been all along you. And it's not your job to do it all by yourself. It's your job to get your brothers and sisters to work with you. We are our brother's keepers. We are the caretakers of the land, and what we do affects each and every one of us. Every single action that we make in our entire life affects everybody. You decide to throw your trash out the window, and everybody decides to throw the trash out the window, you drive down the road, and the place is a dump. But you see, if you ever drove down the road and you looked out and you saw one individual out there, and he's over there, he's got a bag of trash, a trash bag, and he's picking up that trash that somebody else threw out there. He gets it. He got the idea. Look, you guys are going to trash it. I'm still going to keep on cleaning it up. Even if it's completely trashed before it's all over, I'm going to die picking up trash. I can see through your hearts and your eyes, just like you can see through mine. If you're willing to open your mouth and you're willing to use the power of your words to inspire me, I can see through your eyes. Barry told a story. I saw that story playing out like a movie right before my very eyes as he's out there doing what he loves. He's out there in what he calls the bush, the jungle, the woods, the forest. And I'm happy and I'm inspired because he shared a bit of his life with me. Now I wish I could hear every single story for every single soul that ever existed on this earth. I wish I could hear them all. Because I understand that I'm no more important or no less important than any one of them. That those were all pieces of the puzzle that laid the footwork, the foundation, the stepping stones that I walked on when I was born. These words of wisdom, they're inside your heart. And if you feel like it's the time for you to share those words of wisdom with the rest of the world, you have a microphone here at Knights of the Round Table. I'm sure you could go over and talk to Patty at TCT Radio. You have a microphone access there. There's many networks out there of people just like us, wonderful souls from many different nations that have the same dream, the same goal in mind, and they're not doing it for fame or fortune. They're not doing it for notoriety. They're not doing it for the numbers. They're doing it for the love of one another.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that love to tell a story, that set an example for other people, but they're too embarrassed to get on. Even though that on radio, no one can see you, okay, they still would be embarrassed to talk. You could still write in the chat room and tell your story there. Shazoo, Patty, anybody would be thrilled to death to read your story.
Yeah, we love sharing stories of inspiration.
Yes, you got a story of inspiration and you're too embarrassed to get on radio and talk about it, write it in. Write it in the chat room. Shazoo, read it. I mean, we want to hear all these stories. We want stories that will inspire people. Just smile.
So I woke up this morning and I felt I had a divine revelation, and I had to figure out a way to do it, and I delivered my message in the only way that only one person on this planet can. And that's me. And you need to do the same thing. Because there's only one person who can tell your story the way that you're going to tell it. There's only one person who can live your life the way that you're going to live it. There's only one person that will ever exist in the history of time that is you. That one missing piece of the puzzle could make the difference in somebody's life. I'm telling you, folks, our Creator didn't make trash. Our Creator made amazing works of art. If you just take the time to look at what the human body and mind and soul is capable of, it is mind-blowing. And if you want to really take the time to look around and see the true gift that would have been given to all of us, you look at this earth that we stand on. It is mind-blowing. It is a work of art of so epic proportions that I refuse to believe that it's an accident. When I look out there and I see all the resources available in this world and I see the beauty, and I see you in that world and what you can do with the materials available to you, there is nothing that we can't accomplish together. One man can't conquer the whole doggone deal. He can stack up all the gold he wants all his entire life, but the moment he meets his maker, you know what? Everything that he had before he was even there would be wiped away like he never even existed, because he's not any more special than anybody else on there. Nature will always take back what you're not using. And it's up to us to use it wisely while we have opportunity to do so. And for those who learn the lesson and understand and finally reach that spiritual enlightenment, they realize that we are pieces of the puzzle that make this thing the way that it is. We do create our reality. We create our wars and our pain and our suffering. And it wasn't the Almighty that allowed these children to starve. It wasn't the Almighty dropping the bombs. Everybody says, well, you know, if God loves you so much, why would he do this? Why would he allow these terrible things to happen in this world? He didn't.
He gave us free choice.
That's it. He said, don't kill each other.
That's the bottom line. He's looking down right now, Shazaz, and he's not too happy, buddy.
Well, I'm sure he
is. I mean, our Creator's looking down from heaven right now, and he's seeing the destruction. He's seeing the evil. He's seeing the pestilence and what's going on in this planet. He gave us a free will. Unfortunately, as a human being, he gave us free will to make our choices. And right now, he is not happy. We are in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it is going to be long before he comes back here and straightens this whole situation out. I believe that.
Well,
so for me, she says, the most important thing. You know, we can talk to people. We can try and, you know, make people aware of what is going on around us and the fact that there is other ways we can solve these problems if we come together. But collectively as a human race, if we don't come together collectively, which to me, I look at it as, how can we do this? How can the whole human race have a change in heart? Because the human race is really spiraling downwards as far as our moral base goes, as far as our conception of what is important in life. The very fact now that the whole world seems to be in a death spiral, where we see chaos, unbelievable chaos on this planet right now. And you know what? My Bible tells me all about this particular period in time.
Yep.
And he tells me what's coming. Says, and you know what? I have to go by what he tells me is coming. Unless we see a monumental change in the heart of the humans being around this planet, I mean, by the billions, I believe what is told is going to be played out.
And that is why, Barry.
For me, it's what's inside your heart right now, guys, is the most important thing, to try and connect with Jesus Christ.
That is why, Barry.
Because nothing else is more important.
That is why you have to, even in the worst of times, continue to shine your light and to show people. The best way for me to bring people around to my way of thinking and my belief system is to show them by my own actions, no matter what happens, that I'm going to stay consistent. I've stayed consistent since I started this journey with the radio station, and I'm still saying the same thing that I did back then. No matter how bad things get, I'm going to shine that light, and I'm going to keep shining that light, even if I'm overwhelmed by the darkness. It says in there that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. And I'm taking those words to heart, because my God's never lied to me. And so I'm going to shine that light, and I'm going to do the best job that I can do throughout all the adversities for as long as I have a breath in my body. And I'm going to hope that I'm worthy enough to walk through the pearly gates when it's all said and done.
You know, they say the only way that evil can win is if good men do nothing.
Well, I'm like this.
Wait. I'm 73 years old. I will be in a couple of months, all right? I've seen so much gloom and doom through my lifetime, and I've seen so many people preach doom and gloom and this and that, and the world's coming to the end, and the end of days, and this, that, and other. But every time, good men should have did something about it.
We're standing. We're on our feet right now. We're on the radio show.
I'm worried about all the earth spiraling down into Hades and all this crap, because I know that because of Shaziz and other people get on this show, somebody out there is going to stand up and cause others to stand up, and this crap will be straightened out. I have faith in that. I have faith in man.
Well, we're in the process of moving a mountain, Raymond. We're in the process of moving a mountain, and I understand that. I understand where it's all leading. That's why I feel the urgency right now to shout it out to the world. And the best way that I can bring people around my way of thinking is to be the kind of person that I believe that I'm supposed to be. And right. If it all fails, then I tried. I did everything I could. I didn't lay down to evil. I'm not laying down to evil. I'm not afraid of Satan, because my Lord told me how to tell him to get behind me. All right, that's the way I feel.
The very Prince puts it about the earth, mankind spiraling downhill and this and other. But he always says at the end of his gloom and doom, if man doesn't stand up and do something about it.
Well, that's the mustard seed we're throwing out there.
I have faith in man. Somewhere down the line, it's going to get so bad that a group of people are going to stand up and start correcting this crap.
That's why the whole mustard seed of faith, I'm pushing it. I'm pushing it. And I'm going to keep on pushing it. Look,
you put enough mustard seeds, you can move that mountain.
I'm working on it. And you're working on it. We're all working on it. We got to keep the light shining on the world as long, as hard, as best we can, because I don't believe that our Father in heaven told us to lay down and give up. I don't believe we were put down here to fail. I believe that Jesus, with his own words, had literally told us, it's your choice. Well, how this ends up, it ends up this way, or it ends up this way. And if somehow or another we can get our act together, and our Father from heaven looks down and smiles upon us because now we finally figured out that we can't do this the way we've been doing it, and we can't do this without one another. I don't have all the talents that are available in this world. I only got a couple, maybe one.
Actually, that's what this whole show is about, telling stories, fables, whatever, you know, prophecy, whatever. It's to inspire people. Let them know that we are facing some really rough times ahead if things don't change. So we're trying to inspire people to get off their couch and do something. Come on, man, you can do it. You can succeed.
Well,
we can't do it by ourselves. Like you said, one piece of the puzzle. One piece thrown away or not in place, and the picture is incomplete. We've got to get everybody to stand up. And if you don't stand up, you're not going to inspire somebody else to stand up. That's what our stories are about. You've got to do something. You've got to try. Don't lay down and die. It's just that simple. And that's what this whole show is about. It's been about all the time. But today, for some reason, we got on telling a bunch of stories, some of them jokes, some of them fables, some of them real incidents. But it's inspiration. That's what we're trying to do, is inspire people. I mean, plant that mustard seed. Guess what? The roots of a mustard plant has acid, and it will eat through solid rock. So you can plant a mustard seed and move them out. You can definitely move them out with mustard seed.
Well, I believe my miracle's being... I believe my miracle's in progress. I believe that my prayers were answered, and I believe that all these people that are coming together are those shining lights that I was looking for to match with my shining light. You know, think about this for a second. If you got one candle in your hand and it's lit up and it's bright, it only spreads out so far. But Barry walks over with his candle and that light gets just a little bit brighter.
Right.
And then Patty, and then Raymond, and Thomas, and Jermaine, and Stephen, and everybody else out there, they join us in there. We all got our candles, and that light is getting wider and wider and wider. And that is the lesson that I believe wholeheartedly that my good book told me, that you are the solution, you are the answer, you are the piece of the puzzle. And if everybody out there finally realizes, imagine if you were the creator and you came home and your house was in order. How could you be angry? You couldn't. But on the path that we're on, we're going to meet the wrath. And I want to meet the wrath. I'd rather be on good terms with the creator of this universe and the world that we live in. And for those of you that don't believe what I believe, that's fine, that's good. But look, you know you want to live in a better world as well. So light your candle up, however you believe it, light it up and shine that too. Because the more light that we bring into this world, the more of that darkness we can chase away, and eventually there is no darkness to be heard of. Darkness will always be beaten by the light. Always.
And here's the thing, if you're going to join the candle group, bring an extra one with you just in case somebody shows up without one. I mean, you know, it's a good thing, right? Just bring an extra candle with you just in case somebody shows up and doesn't have one.
Patty said in the chat room, said, "You are the miracle, Shaziz. All of us who are doing what is right, you got to make..." It just scrolled up on me. Said, stop scrolling up on me. Said, all of us are doing what is right. We are the miracles in this world. And I agree wholeheartedly. That's the point. That when I say pieces of the puzzle, I'm talking about each and every one of you miracles out there. I'm talking about each one of you miracle makers. Jesus said that you would do great things. If you believe that you would do great things, he said, all these miracles and things that I do, you will do, and you will do greater miracles if you believe. And I believe that. I believe in faith. I believe in my God. I believe in humanity. I believe in the dream. And I know what the book says about the end days, and then we're seeing it. We're walking through, we are literally living in those days. And how long those days last could be thousands of years. I don't know. I don't know the grand scheme of things, because my Lord also told me that no man knows the time or day, that he'd come like a thief in the night. I mean, just show up right out of the blue. Bam. Worst possible. You're doing the most rotten thing at the worst possible time. It's when you're going to find your maker standing there in your face. I don't want to go down like that. I want to try to make this world a better place and do what I can with what I have to work with. And I'm just one of those little candles in that whole vast expansion. Some of you haven't lit your candle yet. We're asking you to light your candle. We're asking you to put your little bit of light out to push away the darkness that's of this world. You know, you go in any house that's not been taken care of and that is overrun by roaches. Once you turn that light on, them roaches will run in every direction trying to get away from that light. They don't want no part of you or the light, because they know the boot's coming. And that's what we're doing here. The bad things and the bad people of the world, we're shining the light on them. We're telling the truth. Look, you see what they're doing? You think that's right? If you think that's right, go over there and stand with them. But if you believe that it's wrong, you come over and stand with us. And you pick up this microphone and you tell what's on your heart. Because there's only one person in this world that can open your mouth. There's only one person that can speak for you. And there's only one person that can say it like you do. Each and every one of you are the miracle, just like Patty said. Each and every one of you is the piece of the puzzle. Each and every one of you have the power of the spoken word, the power of the pen, the power of your action, and most of all, you got the power of love.
I like the power of action.
Well, then you use your power of action.
You got to use it.
The thing is, we got a job to do. Good Lord didn't put us down here.
Gets up and off their butt and start trying something.
Let me make a point here. There's somebody one time said to me that, you know, God just, if he wanted to, he could just make you do whatever you wanted to do, and you could just do it or die. Alright? Well, he didn't do it like that. What he did was he gave us a choice to be either a total jerk or a total angel.
Well, therefore he can't do it.
Hold on.
God cannot make you do anything because he gave you the choice. And if he took that choice back and made you do it, then he would not be God, would he?
Listen.
Can't lie.
Listen.
Go ahead.
If you're a father, you want your children to come back to you in love. You don't want them to come back to you in fear. Otherwise, you're not a father. You're a slave owner.
Exactly.
If all you have is you do what you're told, period, then that's not freedom, and that's what everybody in this world wants is freedom. They want to be free to choose to do or say whatever it is that they want to say. But every action comes with an equal and opposite reaction. That's what science tells us. So if you're a jerk to somebody else, they're going to be a jerk to you. So our God gave us a choice to take and figure out the whole meaning of life, the whole purpose of it all. And he didn't give one person all the power because he wanted to make sure that we knew the most important lesson of all. That this thing doesn't work by yourself. This works with all of you together as that big picture.
People of us here.
Those people that you're over there killing with bombs, and I say you, I'm speaking, you know, wide brush again. I'm not talking about each and every person individually. You're not. And there's people, I don't agree with bombs. I'm talking to the person out there that is actually pulling the trigger or making the choice to do so. Every time that you drop a bomb or you send a bullet across there or an arrow or whatever thing that you do to take another person's life, you just stole from all of humanity a piece of the puzzle. When it's all said and done, we may have the biggest incomplete picture of epic proportions. It may be a mess. It's like a 500-piece puzzle with 400 pieces missing. You're never going to see what the beauty of all of that could have been had you figured it out. Does any of that make any sense to anybody besides me?
Makes a lot of sense to me.
What's your thoughts, Barry?
Well, you know, she says, I kind of sit back with the world right now, and I really, really watch what's going on, and I've made a point in the last couple of years of my life really trying to decipher what Revelation tells me about this particular time in history. And, you know, the way I see it, folks, is that we are in the end times of this particular time in human history. However it plays out in the future, I'm not exactly sure. But you know what, folks? The writing is on the wall. Everything that my Lord Jesus has laid down as a guideline to tell me what is coming and what this particular period in time is going to bring to the human race is happening. And it's just not one revelation. It is hundreds that are spoken about over thousands of years between people that live thousands of miles apart. But the correlation, the accuracy of what is being said right now about this particular time in history is undeniable in my world. I say, people, you've got to study biblical prophecy and see how it's been played out. Barry, how the mark of the beast is going to be a reality, how our cashless society is going to be a reality, how the world is setting up right now for a one world ruler. And Barry, that is, I didn't think that was possible, but now it is more than possible. It's probable.
Barry,
because how society is setting us up. So all I'm saying, folks, is that in my world, Shaziz, I am going to go by what he says. I hope that the human race can see the light and that millions of people will turn away from the dark, because the dark is so powerful and so overwhelming right now in our world, it blows my mind. I can't even begin to wrap my mind around what I see going on. So it's in my heart. My heart's the only thing that matters right now. How I relate to my Creator and how I speak to Him every day is the most important thing in my life, because it gives me a peace. And sure, I want to save the world, but there's going to be millions and millions that don't listen, and millions that are going to be led astray. We know that. So all we can do is speak and talk to the people that will listen, because there's people out there that are listening to us.
Do you believe,
but the rest of them, we can't do anything about.
Do you believe that God does anything without warning people first?
Well, he's given us all kinds of warnings, just this. He's looking down right now, and he's not too happy at what he sees. We are as in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know what happened then. We are actually past that point now. We are in the depths of depravity on this planet that, like I said, I cannot even begin to wrap my mind around what I see going on in this world, how evil the planet has become. But the Bible tells me that in the end days that his power is going to be immense. He is going to run rampant on this planet. But that's exactly what I see. He tells us that Christians are going to be persecuted in ways that no other religion is persecuted on the planet. And we see that unfolding. Everything setting up for the Antichrist. He's going to be here. Go ahead.
Do you know the name of the man who stood at Sodom and Gomorrah and asked the Lord if he could go in there and find so many good people, would he spare
Abel?
Okay. He was sitting there and he was asking, Lord, if I can go in there and I can find this many people, will you spare Sodom? Will you spare Gomorrah? And what did God say?
Yeah, he said, yeah, but he couldn't find a good man.
All right, well, like Abel, I'm not Abel, but like Abel, I am trying to do the same thing. I'm saying, Lord, if I can go out into the world and I can push this mountain, will you spare the world? I'm doing it. I'm probably not going to succeed like Abel. You know, he tried. He actually got a couple people to leave up out of there, but he tried. I'm not ready to give up. I'm gonna try. If I fail, I fail. But Barry, the love that was in the heart of that man, if I go in there and I find this many people, will you spare this world? That's what he asked God, right? I'm asking the same question right now. And I'm going out into this world and I'm trying to find, and I'm trying to avert, even if it's all pointless, even if it's already been written in stone, Barry, I can't give up, because it's put upon my heart that I got to keep on trying. I got to keep on speaking words of wisdom. I got to keep on pointing out to people the gifts that were given to them, and hope that this may very well be, Barry, this may very well be the last plea. I'm out here, I'm pleading to the world, please, please get off this path that we're on. Please help me to gather all the troops and fix this world and make it a better place. One positive pebble at a time, one smile, one good act. I'm sitting here pleading before the apocalypse comes. I'm just as concerned as you are about what the book says in Revelations, because believe me, on Easter Sunday years and years ago, I read the book of Revelations and it changed my life. It changed my life profoundly. And here I am today, and I'm trying to speak to atheists, I'm trying to speak to agnostics, I'm trying to speak to Christians and Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus, and I'm trying to speak to every person under the sun that I'm trying to give a message to. I'm saying, look, you know, I'm shining my light, and I'm hoping that it's going to overcome some of the darkness that y'all happen to face, and I just don't want this to happen. Please. Please, no matter what you believe, step forward with your light. Put your truth out on the table. We'll find out when the Creator gets here who was right, who was wrong. In the meantime, we're falling. We're falling hard. But Barry, I can't give up. I know what the book says, and I know where your heart stands. I can't give up. I'm able. I'm standing out there. I'm able. I'm begging and pleading to my Creator. I'm saying, Lord, if I go in this world and I can move this mountain, the mountain is the people. The mountain is all the people from all nations. That's what I'm trying to do.
Really, she says, all we can do at this point in our lives is stand in our truth. But we have to do that till the last breath of air comes out of our body. And that's all that can be expected of us right now. We can't change the world. And I hope it doesn't go the way the Bible says it's going to go. But unless we see a monumental change on the planet, in the heart of man, I don't want to say it's going to go that way, but I honestly feel it will go that way.
Well, you're probably right. But look, brother, I'm trying. And you're trying.
We're all trying.
We've got to continue to try. No matter...
Time's short, buddy.
You think about this, and you think about it, when the Antichrist finally shows up on the scene and Christians are all being persecuted. You think about all the people out there who are going to be trying to work with each other. Some people will fall away from God. Some people will find God. In the last days, everything will be turned upside down. Nobody will know whether or not, you know, there will be a deception on this land like you wouldn't believe. But Barry, even in the midst of all that, I have so much faith in my Lord Creator that I believe that even in the midst of all that, as bad as things may appear, I'm going to keep on doing it, what I do. And I feel like I do it best as far as myself. That's what I do best. I try to talk to people and I try to be, you know, the scales of justice. Let's try to work this thing out. You know, I will be the last man on the battlefield, shouting while all the bombs is going off and all the fireworks and everybody, the death and destruction. I will be the last man on that battlefield saying peace and love, and can't we all just get along? That is my soul, Barry. That's what God put me down here for, to do. I had a vision where I sat on the edge of the earth and I watched the very last ray of sunlight come to the earth, and I felt so miserable and I could feel the cold setting in. And as that last ray of sunlight finally faded off into the darkness, the great abyss, the last words that came out of my mouth with the last bit of oxygen that this earth had to offer was, what a waste. What an incredible waste. It's like
Stephen mentioned that our loving, forgiving God allowed Lot's wife to be turned to salt for looking back. Well, He gave them a very, very stern, stern warning not to look back. And they did. And that's what happened. He is a loving God, Stephen. He loves you in ways that you don't even know. He loves everybody. And He's given us a choice. You can either take the wide and big path, or you can take the narrow one. And the narrow one is a tough path to follow. And I'm going to be persecuted, and I'll be ridiculed for my belief. But at this point in my life, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because in my heart, I know what is coming, and I know what is right. And you know, my connection with him, buddy, I'll tell you, if I didn't have him in my life, I'd go crazy, because this world is going crazy. Anybody that sits back and looks at this planet right now, it is just totally upside down. But then again, I said, this is talked about many, many times in the Bible, but this particular time, the chaos, the false religions, everything that we talk about in the Bible is coming to fruition. So, to me, it's just a warning, it's a guideline. It gives me an idea of what is coming in the future, and all I can do right now is tell people what I believe. If they don't believe that, that's fine, but I will not stop talking till the day I die. And it's not dying, but the decision is we're going to see each other on the other side, buddy.
Well, I'm sitting here
it's
saying...
It's passing. And you know what she says? Honest to God. My time on Earth, whenever that ends, it ends. But you know what? I'm looking forward to the day that I pass, because heaven sounds like an awfully nice place to me, buddy.
Yeah, well,
there's going to be a lot of people there that I'm going to be shaking hands with. So,
just like that story I told you about Abel. You know, Abel tried. He said, "Lord, if I go in there and find as many people, I'm a doing that." And I'm, you know, I said this a long time ago on the Knights of the Round Table. I said, imagine watching this, the most amazing artist paint the most amazing picture, and as he's trying to paint this picture, there's somebody just keeps on there running to put a scratch on this side or a tear on that side, and somebody keeps trying to tear it up, you know. Alright, once this picture's done and it finally makes it through, it's all beautiful and everything, and the artist himself by that time is so doggone discouraged that he just wants to smash it, right? And I'm sitting here, I'm looking at this, I'm like, please, no, don't smash that. That's beautiful. Give it to me if you don't want it, you know? I'll take it. And I'm wanting this picture so badly. And it just comes to pass that it just finally gets destroyed. And my heart is completely broken, because I recognize the beauty of what this this creation is. I recognize the beauty of my brothers and sisters, you know, and I know the power.
You know what? She's in the same mouthful, buddy. You know, God created this world, and all the destruction that we have done to this planet in the last 100-150 years of our history, which is really when we have really destroyed this planet since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, since chemicals and everything else was brought into our society, and nuclear war and nuclear power and everything else. Well, buddy, he's God. He can fix it with a swipe of his hand. In a split second, he can fix everything that we've done wrong to this planet. So take peace in that, buddy. You think he's going to allow it to be completely destroyed? No, he won't. He's going to allow the human race to go to a certain point, and then he's going to step in. And I honestly believe that. And even though he's got the power to fix it all, which is this, he's God.
Well, don't you believe, Barry? Don't you believe, because the Lord, according to my beliefs, my book said that basically the Lord chooses the least qualified to do his work to show his true power. Don't you believe the possibility that you and me and Patty and Jermaine and even Stephen and everybody else out there are those tools that are being used to bring about a slow turnaround of this whole entire deal? Right now, look, we ask for miracles, we get miracles. If you pay attention, you see miracles every single day. If you witness a childbirth, you just witnessed a miracle. If you witness anything good in this world of chaos, you just witnessed a miracle. If somebody turns from the dark side and moves to the light, you just witnessed a miracle. I believe in miracles. And I believe that each and every one of us right now are probably witnessing that miracle before our very eyes, but we got to learn to recognize when it's happening. I recognized this morning when I woke up, I was overcome with a realization that I was sitting there watching my miracle unfold before my very eyes. My God ain't never lied to me, Barry. Never one time. And I believe it. Every time it rains out there, it's been raining out here, seems like, for 40 days and 40 nights it's been raining out here. But my God, at one point in time, had flooded the earth and swore he'd never flood the earth again. Right? Next time might be by fire, but he wouldn't be breaking his word. But either way, when it rains and rains and rains and rains, I'm not going to worry about the whole entire world being flooded. Because I know my God's truth. Now, I know there's folks out there that don't believe like you and I believe. And I might be very well be a heretic in my own belief system, but I take words literally. And Jesus left me a loophole in there when he said, lest these days be shortened, these things will come to pass. You know, these things will happen. We're on a path to sure destruction. But he also told me that I could move the mustard seed, with the faith of a mustard seed, I could move a mountain. Now, if what he said is true, and I don't believe he's ever lied to me, then that means I'm out here, I'm moving my mountain. It may be slow, because I'm just a dude. I'm just one man, one average Joe. But I'm inspiring people to inspire each other, to inspire more people, to inspire more people. Patty's doing it on her network, and all these other networks out there that are affiliated with this, they're doing it too. Maybe they're not doing it in the right way. Maybe they are doing it in the right way. Maybe I'm doing it in the wrong way, but I'm getting some movement forward. Every time I smile, every time I tell somebody I love them, I move it forward. Every time I light another candle and put a little bit more light towards that darkness, same thing with you. I saw revelations play out in my head, because when I read like I'm seeing a movie. I saw the entire thing play out in my head. And I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see, and that's the most fearful sight of that you can ever imagine. I've looked into the face of Satan himself, and I felt the power of my God. And I know that if I was, those words were spoken to me, and I through that book or from God itself, if God tells me I can move a mountain, then I'm going out and I'm going to move that mountain, even if I fail. That's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to make this world a better place. I may fail, but I'm going to keep on trying. There's a little story a long time ago about an ant trying to move a rubber tree plant. You ever remember that?
No, I don't.
He tries.
It would take a heck of an ant.
Yeah, he tries. But either way, I'm not giving up until it's all over. Until we go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear no evil, just like my Lord told me not to, because if I'm truly a believer in God, I can't worry about global warming, climate change, and all the woes of the world. I'm concerned about them, obviously, because I have a heart and love for humanity, but I'm not going to be fearful of it, because my God said to me to stay strong in these times. That I keep my heart and my faith in the right direction, and things are all going to work out, because he's got a plan. I may or may not be a part of that plan, but right now I'm hoping that I am, and I think my prayer has been answered. I think that my miracle is in play right now, and I think that these words coming out of my mouth are more important than I gave myself credit for. Even though I know my place in time and space, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not God. I'm not anything more than what you are. I'm just a human. I'm just average Joe. But I got this ballooning love in my heart that just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it affects me so profoundly that I spend my days on weekends. I get up Saturdays and do the Mad Science Show. I get up on Sundays and I pour my heart out to the world, and I try to help them to help each other find solutions and put them out there for other people to see. We offer this platform to everybody and his brother. Nobody's excluded. And that's the best I can do, Barry. That's the best I can do. I'm just one little piece of the puzzle.
That's all that could be expected of you at this point in time. So there's going to be thousands and thousands of people that don't listen, millions of people that don't listen, and there will be, I believe, millions that will. And we are seeing a resurrection of morality in the world. So maybe it's not all lost, Jesus, but unless, like I said, we see a monumental change in the human heart, I believe it'll go the way my Bible tells me it's going to go. And I'm not in fear of that time. Sure, I cry every day, for I know millions of people are going to suffer. Every day I see children suffering on this planet in ways that I can't even begin to understand, and that destroys me. It just every day I want to shed tears. I can't believe what's going on in this world. But then, you know, man was given a free choice. And evil is running rampant on our world right now. And that's what we have to fight against. We have to shed a light on that and show people that there is dark and that there is light. And I want to be on the light side, buddy. I don't want to be in the dark side.
You and me
both. Keep that out of my life. I keep that out of my life. And sure, we'll have to dwell into it to make people understand what is going on. You know, it's, to me, it's not fear-mongering. I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just telling you what I honestly believe and what I understand and what I see. You can take that for whatever you want, but I'm going to speak my truth until the day I die.
I wouldn't discourage your truth at all. Your heart's where it's at. You believe what you believe in. You're spreading your message. You're trying to tell people. It's a warning sign. Yeah, look, this is happening. You need to get your act together. I'm kind of like on the opposite side of the spectrum, so to speak. I'm out here and I'm trying to. You're pointing out the problem. I'm trying to say, look, you're the solution, and when you realize that you're the solution, we can all move forward together, and we can avert this catastrophe if we can all come together. When I talk about the mountain, you know, there's a small pile of rocks at the bottom of the mountain trying to move that mountain. And that mountain is the people of this planet. Y'all got to get your act together. You got to stop bombing each other. You got to stop stealing and lying to each other and hurting each other. You got to stop doing all this stuff. Even if you're a non-believer, you got to stop doing this, because the path that you're on, regardless of where you think you're going to end up when it's done, is the same end of the road. We're all in the same boat, and when this boat sinks, we all go down with the ship. There aren't no life preservers in space. You know? Unless you grab on an asteroid and hold your breath for a while until you hit another good rock. I mean, that's a point. Barry, I'm able. I'm standing out there and I'm begging. Please, Lord. Give me the miracle. That's what I'm doing. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm right there alongside you. I understand that you feel the way that you do.
Well, I have to see it that way, Shaziz, because it's black and white. My world is black and white right now. It's so being played out so accurately that to say that it's coincidence, to say that this is being perpetrated by the elite to make us believe that we're in this end time, I say bunk to that. There is so many events right now happening on our planet that all correlate to this particular time in history, and it's all talked about in great length. And for me to say, hey, this is all coincidence, it's all bull, that this really isn't happening around me,
right.
You got to look around you and you'll see it's happening.
You're right, because we've said so many times on this deal, the common denominator of control that the elite of this world and the military-industrial complex uses for control is the fear. And they always want to keep us in fear. But what my Lord said, do not fear.
Fear nothing. Fear no evil.
That's right. My Lord told me not to fear, and so I'm not fearing. With the exception of the fear that I got for those who just will not listen. And they're all dragging us all down the pipe together. We're not. They think that they're sending us down the plumbing, that it's not going to affect them, but it is. It's dragging them down with it. Because when you don't realize that the overall picture of the big picture is each and every piece of that puzzle all combined, well, when one of those pieces of the puzzle goes down, your situation just become dire, because there ain't no way you're ever going to get the final picture if you haven't got that final piece of the puzzle, which is you. We got to get our act together. We got to work hard to do the best that we can, even in the worst of circumstances, and that is the only message that I can put out there to the people that is so important. Peace, love, hope, light, whatever it is. Find your way to your Creator. Find your way there. Find your way to goodness and light and shine it. Show it. Show the world. If you feel so strongly about what you believe in, show the world what your Creator has done for you, and they are more apt to follow. not standing out there on the corner, and I can tell everybody, I can smack them upside the head with my good book and tell them you're going to go to hell if you don't listen to what I got to say. Or I can get out there and I can lead by example and I can show them how my life has benefited from my Creator and the words that were put into my heart and my head by His speaking the words into existence. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be like Abel. I'm trying to be like old crazy mad science guy and deliver my message in whichever manner I can to make things right in this world, because I see where we're going. And I know where we've been. Now I don't want to go back that way, because it was rough getting here. The path that you had to take to get where you're at right now, Barry, the things that you had to go through in your life to make you who you are today, the loving soul that you are, you wouldn't have never got there if it wasn't. No man's ever going to step through the gates of heaven without scars. His life has been a battlefield. And it's been that way for everybody. And some folks just are so disgusted with it, they curse the very thought of God. I'm trying to show them a different way. I'm trying to show them a different view. I only got my words to say. I can't say yours for you. Can't say nobody else's for them. There's only one person that can deliver Shaziz's message, and that's me. And I'm out here and I'm shouting it to all four points of the compass, because I see it's going down the side of a mountain in a grocery cart. And I don't know if you've ever wiped out in a grocery cart, but it hurts like heck.
Can't say I've ever done that, Shaziz. But
my brother said, get in this grocery cart.
Things to do. How's that?
Yeah, my brother said, get in this grocery cart. I'll push you across the parking lot. Well, he did, but he let go, and I wiped out, man. Hit a curb, and yeah, there's not too much padding inside a grocery cart for a skinny old kid. Anyway, it's exciting, and we're over time. So, with that said, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Barry, you got any last words of wisdom to share to the world?
I don't know. I think I pretty well said it all today, Shaziz. I just ask people to, if they have never looked at the prophecies of Revelations, to maybe have a look at it. And I think you'll find it absolutely fascinating how things are laid down. To me, reading Revelations is like reading a newspaper, because what it talks about right now is so accurate in what we see going on in our world that it's uncanny, to say the least. That's all I got to say today.
Yep.
It is the truth, guys. Yeah. And prepare yourself and your soul for it.
He's right. We're on the road. We're all in this big old bus. The brakes are out. We're heading towards the cliff. And old Shaziz is hanging over the side with a monkey wrench trying to tighten up the brakes so that somebody will get over there and mash on them. Everybody's standing on the brakes. Let's bring this puppy to a halt is what I'm shouting. That's what I'm doing. I'll probably fall out and get run over by the bus. But by God, if there's a hope, if there is even a light, a possibility, even a remote chance. That's why I don't want to be a jerk, because if there is any kind of redemption for me, for my mistakes in life, I get an opportunity to go, you know, to heaven, I don't want to blow it. I don't want to spend eternity in hell. I've already lived through life, and everybody knows what that's like. Life is like wrestling a cactus. You think about that long enough and you'll know my understanding. Go out there in the desert, find a big old tall 6 foot tall cactus and wrestle that puppy to the ground. And when you get it accomplished, you stand up like Rocky Balboa and you shout to the world, "Yo, Adrian, I did it! I did it! It hurt like heck, but I did it!" That's exactly what you're doing the day that you step out of this world. You realize you overcome a lot of adversity and a lot of pain, and you are who you are today, and that's why I'm begging each and every one of you not to give up on yourself, because if you made it this far, there's a reason for it. I ask for a miracle. I believe that miracle is in progress, and that miracle is each and every one of you. If you're listening to these words right now and you've liked this podcast, I'm begging you, please share it with somebody that's having a hard time. Share them and show them that there's people out here that got love in their hearts that are doing something and trying, even if it's only speaking the words of wisdom, to try to uplift the souls of the world. Share the podcast with them. Throw that positive pebble in the pond. If your mustard seed, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, throw it in there and let's move that mountain. I got the faith the size of a mountain and I'm trying to move my mountain. I'm only moving mustard seeds at a time, but I'm not giving up because each one that I move is like that rock pile that me and my little boy moved with the shovels and the buckets. He said, Dad, that's a big pile. And I said, yeah, son, we'll just take our time and we'll pick at it and we'll pick at it and we'll just keep working and working and talking and having fun. And before too long, my wife and my daughter joined us and we were aiming to build a walkway so that we wouldn't have to walk in the mud to get to the house. And we kept on going and eventually that pile got smaller and smaller and my son looked over there and he said, Dad, look what we did. I said, yeah, and we all did it together. That's how you make things happen in this world. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I hope you've been inspired.
What is the dream? The dream is to bring brilliant minds from every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us from every nation come together and make that future a great one.
Old woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you ma'am.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you. We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table. We dance whenever we're able. We do routine to call the scenes to put quite impeccable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table. Our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give them rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off to bat in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Terror and the Knights of the Round Table.